Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
Good morning. I'm Scott Stannis, filling in for vacationing Nick DiGilio. I always screw that name up. Nick DiGilio is on vacation. I should probably talk slower. Make this sound like NPR.
That would be good.
A lot of lip smacking on NPR. There is. We have a great show for you. Hey, happy 4th of July. Best Brexit ever. Brexit?
Brexit?
Brexit.
Brexit.
Best ever. Ever. Ever.
Ever?
July 4th. Here in the greatest city in the greatest country on the face of the planet. I'm joined by Janine Fadich. Now, people screw your name up all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Yes.
I'm convinced you're named after a typo. Janine, by the way, is my very best friend in the whole wide world. So that's why she's sitting in with us tonight.
Because I was the only one who'd come in. This
well, we're married to each other, so I think there was something in the vows. I'm pretty sure. No, so she spells her name J-A-N-I-E-N.
Right.
Now, there's some woman in Germany who spells it the same way?
No, there's actually a woman in Las Vegas who spells it the same way.
So there's two of you.
Her name's Janine Valentine. Yes.
Is she a stripper?
No. She's a, like, variety act person. Sings and that kind of stuff.
Ah, okay.
That's it. That's enough.
That's enough.
Move on.
And we're also... Really? Already?
Yes, please.
Gee whiz. And we're, of course, also joined by the lovely and talented. We just had lunch with her and met her for the first time this afternoon. She's our producer, Jasmine Cooper.
Woo.
Woo. Say hi. Jasmine.
You know what? Hello.
Yeah, there you are. There you are. So Jasmine is from, we came here from, I worked at Birmingham News for 13 years. Jasmine came up here from Birmingham as well.
Yes, I used to live there for 5 years.
And you came up here in, 2008?
Yes, 2008.
All right. So it's like a Birmingham-Chicago axis right here in this very studio. So we'll be here until 5 in the morning. We hope you enjoy it. We've got a heck of a show lined up for you. We've got everything from binge-watching stuff, comedian Martin Morrow. We've got Cheryl Sloan of the G Boutique, so things are going to get a little hot and sexy.
Ooh, baby.
Oh, yeah. And we're also going to talk about the Party Barge, which Ashvin Ladd hates for me to call it that. Breakwater. For those of you who don't remember, Breakwater was this huge, what did he call it? It was a multi-purpose destination.
Private destination.
It's going to be parked in the, it was initially going to be in Oak Street Harbor. Now they're going to move it out like almost a mile and a half off the shore. So, you're going to have to take a water taxi to it. I think they're going to have a deal with that. But anyway, we're going to talk to him about that. We're having Madeline Dubeck from Reboot talk about how screwed up our state is. I know that's hard to believe, and this may be surprising. Yes, I know. It's surprising to many. We're talking about libertarian candidates, and we're also going to have Eric Alley, who's the editorial cartoonist for the Illinois Policy Institute, joining us as well.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So I say July 4th, great day for the United States. Always a great celebration, but there's something even more to celebrate. I'm going to get my geek on for a minute. Is that fine? Is that okay? Are we good with that?
We're used to it.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
you're used to it?
Yeah, that's pretty much what you do.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I've been a geek my whole life. I mean, a total space geek. I mean, truly and really, we'll stay up and watch like stuff until 3 in the morning to make sure that we got that line of code from someplace. Janine and I were lucky enough to be invited to the New Horizons flyby, which that mission to Pluto and Johns Hopkins in Maryland.
Mm-hmm. Baltimore?
Yeah, outside. Actually, outside. But anyway, it was very cool. And so this is how geeky things get. At 7 in the morning, people gathered to get a line of code to say that the mission had been successful flyby. No pictures, no nothing, just a line of code.
It's basically contact.
Yeah, and people went nuts. It was great. It was like a football team. Anyway, America has something more to be proud of. A couple things. New Horizons mission, by the way, just got more funding. It's going to a new object in the Kuiper Belt, which is that ring of gunk outside our solar system where Pluto is. And they're heading for a brand new object. And they just got approved funding this week. So that's actually kind of cool. We're going to see something completely new, something we've never, ever seen before. And this is exciting.
It's very exciting.
It is.
It is. That's what we do as people. We explore.
We do explore. So this was a great thing. But what's happening here, July 4th, the birthday of our great nation, is the Juno mission to Jupiter is going into a planet orbit at, I think, 6 o'clock this evening, Central Time. It's been a 5-year voyage. They've slingshotted around the sun, slingshotted around us, actually, the Earth, you know, the little blue marble. And now it's entering orbit insertion around Jupiter. It's going to be going around there for a few years. It actually has to have a very eccentric orbit because the radiation is so bad. Radiation on Earth is roughly I want to say 4 or 8 rads. Okay, just stay with me.
I don't remember that in school. So.
Around Jupiter, it's 300 million rads.
Which
so that's
more?
How bad. Yeah, that would be more. They did teach you math in public school.
There
this is go. Awesome. So it's a very hostile environment. So it has a very elliptical orbit. And at the end of its mission, it's going to crash into Jupiter. It's actually going to. And we're going to see what happens when it burns up and take readings from that as well.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. Well, you think burning up, you know, public money, what the hell?
I know. It's just build something, spend a lot of money, and then crash it.
Yeah, that's what we do here in this country. And just to show that no subject in this day and age is bereft of politics. A study, and I'm not making this up. This is not an Onion headline, ladies and gentlemen. This is an absolutely true headline. I'm not making this up.
Okay.
And neither are these people. An actual polling company polled 853 actual registered voters. I like how they keep saying actual, to see if they would rather vote for Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, or a giant meteor hitting the Earth. And the results were pretty interesting. The meteor is polling pretty well. Public Policy Polling is a North Carolina-based polling company. They are not a hoax. They do actual polling. They do.
And they're the ones who gave people those choices, or did someone
yes,
else
they,
bring
they,
up the
they, they do actual polling. They do like legitimate, straightforward stuff. But they also had in the poll, they asked if those usual questions we talked about, Clinton has a 4-point edge, which is terrifying in and of itself over Donald Trump. Well, the margin of error is 3.8%. However, they would still win if the other opposition was a giant meteor obliterating Earth and or causing a drastic climate change that would either kill us, as did the dinosaurs, or force us to evolve into a species of super beings who are impervious to heat.
Well, that would be kind of cool.
In fact, the guy who I kind of like, a guy that polled at the poll, which really happened, 43% of people would vote for Clinton, 38% for Trump, and 13% would prefer a giant meteor crashing into the planet.
So does that mean that the giant meteor now gets to be in the debates?
No, it's that's a great question. But you need 15% to get into the debates.
So
2 points away from getting into the debates. Two. And what's funny, what really makes me sad is I actually am a Gary Johnson fan. He's a libertarian candidate, and he polled at 5%, while the Green Party candidate Jill Stein is 2%. Yeah. So people would rather be hit with a meteor than vote for the libertarian. Well, there's work to be done. There are other polls that showed Gary Johnson between 10 and 12%. So he may
actually. But
that's
without the meteor.
That is without the meteor. Now, you know, you don't know, and the meteor is non-committal. So
we're not. How does it stand on the issues? That's what I want to know.
I think it's strong on Putin, and it's strong on India. That's what it says. In fact, I have a copy of the, you can buy the bumper sticker, and it says, I'm not kidding, it says, Giant Meteor 2016 just ended already. It's a slogan. You can go to.
I love that. That's good.
You can go to Amazon.com.
That's how a lot of people feel.
Giant Meteor for president. We're going to take a break. Is that right? Time for a break. And you're listening to Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Anybody hear me?
I hear you.
Oh, I can't hear me on my own headsets. What the heck is wrong with me? Going deaf. Okay, well, I guess we're here. So we're here. Happy 4th of July, Chicago, the greatest city and the greatest country in the world, celebrating the best Brexit ever. I've said that ever, and
you
I mean
said that.
That,
but that's not really a Brexit. Brexit means Britain exits.
Well, we were British at the time.
Well, I guess.
Right?
Ish.
Ish? Well, we, no, we were. We were British. In fact, what was it? Like, what did we learn? 30% of the people, only less than 30% of the people supported independence, right?
Right. Most of them kind of wanted to stay.
I still, you know, I love, I'm a history geek, and I love the idea of putting yourself into the historical moment. You know, for instance, if you met Jesus, what would he smell like? And that sounds impertinent, but I mean that because it's one of the senses we never discuss. We talk about tactile. We talk about what he said. But if you met George Washington, you know, what would he look like? What would his presence be like? So I one of the things on this day of all days, on July 4th, they issued the Declaration of Independence, which I was going to read to you. But somebody said
it was long.
Yeah, it was really long. And she said, if I was listening, I'd turn the radio station to something else.
I would.
So I'm not going to do that. But I thinking back, when they had the Declaration, they printed up a bunch of them and disseminated them across the colonies. And to read to from from the courthouse steps to the people to let them know what the heck happened. I'm still thinking, if you're in a small town in North Carolina or Georgia or Maine, and someone is reading this thing, and they said what has happened.
You're like, what?
Yeah, they had to. You just know the crowd when it ended. There's dead silence, and then someone went, "Wait, we what? Wait, what? Wait, read that again."
Well, it's just interesting because we're a democracy now, but no one took a vote back then. They didn't poll all the people.
They didn't poll the people, but they did run candidates for the Continental Congress. These mm-hmm. were representative government. That's how this works. So we went, and I'm glad it worked because here we are.
That's true.
So waiting. Craig Collins, excuse me, is going to be joining us with, he is the producer of the Patty Vasquez show, but he is also does his own podcast called You've Binged Challenged.
I know, it's hilarious.
It's hard to say, but it's very funny to look at, and it's a terrific podcast, and it talks about exactly what you think we talk about. Talk about binge watching stuff, which we're doing. We Janine and I now are watching Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
And what's the number one lesson?
We do not want to go to jail.
No, jail looks like it's unpleasant.
Very bad.
Very bad.
And that's like the women's jail, which is probably much better than the men's jail.
And it's the nice women's jail.
Right. It's not like the real bad guys.
So that's what we're doing. So we're expecting Craig here, and we're looking to talk to him. Just to show that science sucks the fun out of everything. I mean, I made a big to-do in the previous segment talking about the flyby of Juno and the orbit insertion and how cool science is and so on. Here's where it's not so cool. And you had a great take on this. I want to explore that for a second. But first, I want to read this. The headline, USA Today Network. It's official. Esmeralda,
what?
Are you ready for this? Well, she's not there. No one's here. What is this? No one's here. I got to bounce off of anybody. Jasmine, you're here.
I'm here.
Okay. Janine is here.
I'm here.
Okay. It's official. Raw cookie dough is a no-no.
Oh, yeah. I heard about this. I did.
This sucks. It says put down the spoon or
so
spatula
good.
From the mixing bowl. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration announced it's no longer safe to eat raw cookie dough or batter, even if you're using a recipe that doesn't use raw eggs.
Why is that?
Well, you may ask, why is that? You just did. In fact, the administration is a new consumer update posted Tuesday. This is this past Tuesday, I guess a week ago. It's not safe to eat raw flour in any form. Now, I never grab a big handful of flour. Do you, Jasmine? I mean, that just never happens.
I don't really eat raw cookie dough. Like, it wasn't
what?
My thing. It really wasn't my thing growing up. I really was the one just sitting there watching the cookies.
So you really like the cookies?
I just want the cookies, cooked.
Yeah, I always like the dough.
What is wrong with this new generation?
Well, sorry. What happens to you? Why is it?
Well, we didn't have fire back then, so maybe that explains why we didn't wait for it to be cooked. Why is this big? Because a chocolate chip cookie dough is the best ice cream ever. Ever.
It is.
Ever. You can call.
But and I wonder if it's when it's frozen that kills. So what, somehow?
They actually don't go into that here. They just say that it's dangerous.
It's not a very
you can get
article.
The danger is E. coli. Now, here's where it gets preposterous. It says symptoms of the strain of E. coli includes bloody diarrhea, abdominal cramps. While most people will bounce back within a week, it can even lead to kidney failure, especially among the elderly and children under 5. Flour is derived from a grain that comes directly from the field and typically is not treated to kill bacteria, says the FDA. I'm looking for the numbers here, and it's kind of weird. It's like 38 people over the last 6 years.
That's not really that many.
No, it really kind of isn't.
And I have a question. Is it just cookie dough? What about cake batter? I mean, people don't eat. Well, people do eat cake batter.
Oh, sure you do. You lick off. What's the great treat when you were a kid is they handed you the little.
Right, you get the beaters. Thingy.
Yeah, thank you. I like my better, but okay, let's.
That's a little harder
to use the technical term. This is just one of those things that you just know. You know. You are certain. We are positive within, 6 months? 10 months?
Find out it's good for you.
It's find out that you should eat as much cookie dough as you possibly can. Chomp down the flour. No water. This is, and you had, that was your point.
That's one of the reasons I think that people tend to be kind of skeptical of science because things change so much. Something's good for you, then it's bad for you, and then it's good for you again. It gets kind of confusing, and I understand that because they learn new things all the time, but I think, you know, most people are like,
Yeah, well, it's one of those things. Well, like apples. Great example. You know, do you remember, what was it? Radon? Was that it? Or no, that was in the homes, but it had something bad for you.
Right, they had, you know, Senate hearings
and it actually killed the apple industry for a while because people thought that these things were poison. They came back and said, they're not so bad. And now they're saying, honest to God, again, not making this up, an apple a day actually does help keep the doctor away.
Organic apples.
Is that it?
That's well because they use no insecticides. Pesticides.
I like pesticides. I think it makes you stronger. Am I wrong?
I think you're wrong.
I'm trying to read through the story and trying to find out exactly where the numbers are. Here it is. Tolhouse cookie dough, which was believed tied the flour used to make the dough. Blah blah blah.
But they're bringing back Diet Pepsi with aspartame, which supposedly causes cancer.
That is the best story ever because Diet Pepsi sales have flattened.
Right. So
they're bringing it back. Now, my friend Phil Rosenthal wrote about this in the Chicago Tribune, and it is. I still don't quite understand the reasoning for them to bring it back.
Because it tastes better, apparently. So you may get cancer, but you'll enjoy your sodas more. So you'll enjoy life more before you die, I guess. I don't know.
So we can't have raw cookie dough, but we can have carcinogenics in our soda.
Correct.
That makes all
sense. I don't know. You've already been kind of warned about it, but I don't. Maybe. When did they get rid of aspartame? I can't remember when that was.
Read. What is wrong with you?
No. We won't worry about it.
We're not going on facts here. Are you nuts? That's crazy. Aspartame, I don't remember them getting rid of it. I remember saccharin. This is how old I am. Now, if you're old enough to remember this, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you're not, then you have no clue. Saccharin was the thing that was going to kill us all. Do you remember that back in the...
Right.
That had to be the 60s, early 70s.
Get rid of that and red dye number 2.
Which, of course, turned out to be...
Not so bad.
Yeah. They could bring it back. And so it got rid of red M&Ms for a generation. A generation grew up without red M&Ms.
Was it really a generation without red M&Ms?
That's what I'm saying.
You're and
if you say it with conviction, listen to my tone, not my words. That's the problem. Kids today, I swear. Anyway, yeah, so they're bringing back aspartame in Diet Pepsi, which is just, like I said, it is bizarre because it did cause cancer in rats. Now, what was that experiment? Was it one of those where, you know, we're just going to jam it down their throats and they're going to have 5 pounds a day of aspartame, or was it?
That's usually how it is, right? They give them quite a large amount and they're very tiny little rats compared to people, but...
Now, see, that's where the things like with tobacco, do they actually make them smoke? Because that would be hilarious.
Little mini cigarettes in their mouths.
Yeah, can you see them? I don't know why. I just have this impression that these rats are like French and they're just like... I disdain the world. I wish I was dead. Something like that. Am I wrong? No? They don't do it like that?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I doubt it. I'm pretty sure.
And of course, they do the cocaine. They tested cocaine on them.
Did they?
To make sure. Yeah, they test everything on animals. But on rats, I remember, because Robin Williams has a whole routine on that. And the rats just, you know, going crazy and nuts because they're coked out.
Well, remember our daughter-in-law got her doctorate in New Zealand, and she was talking about the rats that they another laboratory was doing some things, some experiments with rats. And when they're done, they kill them. Well, they don't call it killing. They call them sacrificing the rats. Remember?
I'm sorry. That's terrible because a salient mammal is being, you know, destroyed. But really, that's the word they used.
That's the word they used. And the funny thing was that the day he was supposed to do it was Christmas, and they wouldn't do it on Christmas. Because you didn't want to sacrifice the rats on Christmas Day.
Okay. Yeah, that's a moral system that holds up really, really, really well. Real quick, DNA Info, which is a terrific site, local news site. Five interesting facts about the giant flag on the Wrigley Building. I love that flag.
It is a really cool flag.
It began in 2002 in an annual 4th of July tradition in commemoration of 9/11 attacks. I came here for my job interview in 2009 in September and saw it on the side of the building. And it just was awesome. I love seeing that thing up there. It really is. It's 50 feet wide and 100 feet tall.
Big.
It only takes a couple of people to install, according to DNA Info.
Because it's such a large flag.
Well, it says, despite the enormous dimensions, the flag isn't too heavy, according to the guy who puts it up. We're able to lift it by a couple of people. It costs $6,200.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a little more expensive than I thought. And people in the building love it. According to this, because love it is it's in all caps, so it must be true. It says, even though the huge flag effectively blocks the southern facing windows, building residents don't seem to mind the temporary hindrance. According to the guy who puts it up, whose name I can't pronounce, an ambient light of white, blue, and red filters through the material and bathes the rooms in beautiful, patriotic colors.
Sounds so romantic.
Colors. It does.
Now, do you feel that way when they put the Blackhawks flag up?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Are you kidding? Hawks are awesome.
Because it goes up and blocks your window, so.
It does. Oh, my window. Oh, here at the Trump Tower? Yeah, no, that sucks. But that's something entirely different. We're going to be back after this. This is, you're listening to Chicago's Own WGN. To make your night worth it. I hope you're having a safe night out there. Right now, the violence holiday total right now is 2 dead and 20 wounded, which is actually far less than we expected. Because what was it, Thursday? Thursday we had 80. No, I mean
Thursday was maybe almost like it would come
24.
About
it was
one
an hour. So we were expecting the worst this weekend, but. There's a lot of drunk people out there, apparently, and so I really appreciate our guests coming. Greg Collins drove in against the current, as it were, against the drunk salmons, as if you want to, like a mental image. Craig Collins, if that name sounds familiar, he's the producer for the Patty Vasquez show. I'm going to get this right. Patty Vasquez. Shit.
Yes. I think that's the right way you're supposed to say it. I actually always say Vasquez. Still.
I say Vaz. No, see, I was corrected many times because she would say it, I'd say whatever, and that's not the right response.
No, it's
apparently.
Not. Yeah,
not the right response. Anyway, Craig produces Patty's show, but he also does one of the very best podcasts at WGN Plus. Well, you're welcome. It's You Binge Challenged. In fact, we had lunch with Jasmine today, and she brought up. She has a bone to pick with you, which we may bring up later. So,
I'm excited about that.
Apparently, because you had, actually, we had the same experience, so.
Both have had the same experience.
With you, yes.
Okay.
And what is that?
It's positive. No, it's not positive, but we'll talk about it. What we're going to do here. This is what makes
us
such.
I'm very scared.
No. It's
you can talk about it now or you can make them wait.
Is this taking a turn? The segment is taking a turn.
Okay, Jazz, you want.
No, go ahead, Jazz.
Should I bring it up?
You want me to tell my story and you tell your story?
How sweet, Dad.
Okay, I'm going to
because it's the same story. Go ahead.
It's the same story.
Go ahead.
Greg, I have a bone to pick with you.
I've heard.
I do not appreciate that I wasn't on the Game of Thrones.
A lot of people have said this.
And I feel some type of way.
Yeah, and you know, I have two in the can that I haven't used at all because I got a little bit obsessed with Game of Thrones. I did four or five of them because that's how many seasons were out at the time. And I think that might have been a mistake because everyone wanted to talk about Jon Snow. Every single podcast I did, I said, let's talk about a specific season, and all they wanted to talk about between those two seasons, the one we just most recently saw, is Jon Snow alive or dead?
Okay, because you, yeah, because you blew me off too.
I apologize for that.
Because I said,
did either of you guys really ask me?
Yes,
really.
I was really excited. I said, what do you want to binge? And you said, and you actually asked me. You said you want to do Game of Thrones because I knew you were going to break it up into because it's
okay. Now I sort of understand what's happening here. People ask me to be on my podcast, and I suggested Game of Thrones because it's my favorite show. Probably a whole bunch of times. You're probably not the only two out there. There's probably a lot of people, Greg,
whose hearts have been crushed. So don't, Jasmine, don't be hurt.
Let's all talk about it. Let's talk about Game of Thrones right now.
You need to get them all together so they can discuss that.
That's amazing fine. Last season. Okay.
We have a wonderful opportunity with microphones right now to discuss it.
We do. And I don't expect, because I haven't watched the last two episodes.
What are you doing, Scott?
I have a life. I do my editorial cartoons for the Chicago Tribune. I do a comic strip.
Oh, my God. The last two episodes were the biggest ones. They were the best ones. Go home now.
Okay. Okay. If you guys can wait, I'll be back in an hour.
Go ahead, finish it on the computer.
Just stream it. If you hear it, it's like,
yeah,
you know nothing, Jon Snow.
You're going to make a lot of reaction noises, too, because the last two episodes of this season were amazing.
Yes, I kind of have an idea of what happens.
Okay.
But
did you see them, Jasmine?
No.
I thought you were a huge fan.
Yeah, both of you. Wait a minute. You're both chastising me for not having you talk about it. Apparently, you wouldn't have watched it.
It would have been spoilers.
Well, I don't want to. Never mind. No, Bible. I'm not doing it.
That's your safe word.
That's your safe word.
Bible's the safe word.
Bible's the safe word.
Leave her alone when you hear that.
All right. Leaving her alone. I like that safe word.
Anyway, so what other shows have you done?
Oh, I've done a bunch of shows. The first show I did was
And you have a guest host. I mean, a co-host now.
I do. I decided that Rachel Woodall sounded great on our Office podcast, and also she's a WGN Plus believer. She's one of the first people to have podcasted on WGN Plus. Artistic License is the name of her show, and it's a very cool show. She actually tries to find art in a lot of different things, not just the things we would most typically assign as artistic, but anything. Now she co-hosts the show with me, and I've watched tons and tons of hours of television and about 20-something shows at this point.
Let me ask you a crazy question. You produce Patty's show, so you're here. She's on from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Yeah, correct.
So when do you
watch?
when do you watch?
Yeah, that's a question I get a lot. And I actually am trying to be a little cognizant of that because I know that like my bosses would be aware of how many hours maybe I'm spending watching TV instead of doing my real job. But I start work here at 4. I work from about 4 o'clock till 2 o'clock in the morning, so it's a pretty long day. And I binge around that, and I binge predominantly on weekends. So now, I would be binging if I weren't here.
So does Mrs. Craig like this? I mean,
Mrs. Craig likes some of the shows, but there are other ones that she refuses to see.
Like
Deadwood.
What?
Deadwood's a pretty good example. The words in that show were pretty vulgar. The things they said.
No.
Yeah. Have you seen Deadwood?
Oh, yes. Oh, every other word.
Every other sentence. It's amazing how many vulgarities they strew into one sentence.
And how many, when that show first came on, how many people asked, did they actually use that many bad words back then? Did they actually have that word?
And they did. Right?
They had to have a foul mouth, let's face it. I mean, these were foul people in the middle of nowhere.
But were the words the same? I always would think that foul words would evolve after
first
a while.
I don't think it would be poetic. I mean, these weren't poets. These weren't like, you know.
We should all admit, though, that living in that time period would have been terrible, just awful. So you would have been very mad.
You know, we somehow memorialized or have elevated the image of the cowboy. The cowboy was the worst job you could get.
Oh, for sure.
The worst job you could. And the other thing that is terrible about our depiction of them is that they think that 50% or more were African American, former slaves. It's jobs they could get.
Yeah.
You know, but it was terrible.
You don't really see them on TV.
No.
You don't see them on TV. Well, you see some movies, but for the most part, that, you know, think about that for a moment. That must have been amazing. But you never, ever see that.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't want to be a cowboy at all. That sounds like a terrible, terrible job.
They also look cleaner on TV than they were in real life.
Yeah, they had to smell terrible.
You've seen the photographs. So, you know, the tinotypes and all that stuff. And they're staring at the camera. Their collars are crooked. And their hair obviously has not been washed for months.
This is sadly all stuff that didn't come up in my Deadwood podcast that we should have talked about. I don't know why smelly cowboys was not one of the topics.
They must have, and that's what I like about Game of Thrones. The problem with Game of Thrones for Janine is...
Okay.
I can't tell the characters apart. Scott started watching it without me, which was fine.
Was
I cheated.
By the time he was on, like, what, third season or something?
Yeah.
So he had me sit and watch part of it. I could not tell any of the characters apart. They're all dirty and bearded.
There's a brand new app that just got invented, and I don't know if it's on, like, Xbox and everywhere, but I know it's on your phone, where you can actually lock your spouse out of a show if you're watching it together. It's an app that, like, you can lock specific shows, so you can only watch them when both of you are together. And I think it's amazing.
So it's sort of a show chastity belt.
Yeah, exactly correct, yeah.
Wow. Now, there's a name for that. I forgot what it was for when you cheat, when you binge.
When you're binge cheating.
Is that okay? That's
it. I don't know. I'd call it binge cheating.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what other shows have you done recently?
I've done a lot of shows. Most recently,
which one have really blown you away? Was there one that you didn't expect to be great?
Several that I didn't expect to be great. And actually, I've admitted this a couple times on the podcast. It's awkward to have someone suggest a show to me, sit down for a 20 to some odd minute interview, and hate the show. So I usually am not honest about disliking it if I'm sitting in front of someone, because they usually like it a lot. But there are shows. Gossip Girl is one that I was surprised I liked so much, because that show to me didn't sound very appealing, but it actually was.
Wow.
Yeah, the writing was pretty good.
All right.
And it was funny. That's not my type of show, though. And then actually, most recently, I saw Criminal Minds, and that show just scared the crap out of me.
It is scary.
Yeah.
And I've watched a few, and it's like, oh, my God.
When you binge a bunch of episodes of that,
why?
And like, people are getting killed and things. And,
you don't
want to
leave the house,
no,
do you?
You want to
You're like,
nothing.
No, anywhere you go, you're going to be dead.
I'm in a lot of danger, and no one's going to help me.
Well, you are. You drove in.
I know.
You almost died coming in. Yeah. what happened on the road you were driving in?
Yeah, okay. So I got off of Lakeshore Drive at Grand Avenue, and I was stopped at one of those first lights right off of Lakeshore Drive, and a guy, this is a one-way street going west, a guy drove by me the wrong direction very casually and like sort of smiled and waved at me, but he's going the completely wrong direction right now, so I don't know.
I wonder if he thought you were going the wrong direction.
I wonder, yeah, it was pretty far
he's
over,
probably telling
too.
The story, there's this drunk guy that's going the wrong way on Grand.
I don't know where he's going to, because he turned, and I think he's just doing laps. I think he's just having fun downtown.
So you were like, The podcast. I mean, you were like living Criminal Minds.
Yeah, I was
Criminal
trying
Minds?
To scream out to have him listen to my podcast.
Well, I have never watched it. You watched it, Janine?
I've watched like a few episodes here and there.
Trisha.
It's a scary show.
J'accuse.
No, because I wasn't binge watching it. It's like, you know, I when I'm
oh, that
I
makes
just kind
it,
of like
it meant
the
nothing.
TV on sometimes it meant nothing to me.
It was one.
We're just friends.
Do you guys have your own shows, or there shows that you watch separately, and you can't? You just don't let the other person come in the room at all.
Well, she lets me come in the room, but it's just
come in the room.
You watch CS all.
I watch. No, no. I only watch NCIS. I don't watch all the other.
Oh, because you're picky.
Because I'm very picky on my crime stuff.
Okay, we're talking. I'm here with Janine Fadich, and of course, Craig Collins, who does the You've Binge Challenged podcast. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back shortly after this. You're listening to Chicago's Own 720 WGN.
So make it one for my baby, and one more for the road.
That song actually starts with It's a Quarter to Three.
Put another nickel.
So, and it's a quarter to three, so it all comes together.
Good timing.
Hey, everyone, I'm Scott Stans, filling in for Nick DiGilio, and I'm joined by Janine Fadich and Craig Collins, what title is that? Producer of the You've Binge Challenged podcast?
Well, I'm the host of it. I'm the host.
The
creator.
Host, creator.
Genius behind it.
Genius behind it.
I would love to go with genius behind it. If
let's go with that. Now, Janine mentioned...
That's always good. I was just wondering, which shows do you watch with your wife? Which ones does she
like? My wife is very into like nice shows, nothing that's vulgar, nothing that's angry at all, and reality TV. So reality TV, for the most
which
part.
Which is vulgar and violent.
Well, not like The Voice. The Voice is the kind of thing. The Bachelorette, she loves that show, which now I actually like a lot on my own.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Really?
No, I watch this show now without her. I'm full on cheating on her on the Bachelorette scenario because it's an amazing show. Gary Meyer used to love it a lot, actually. It's a show that... I don't know. Something is really funny about people acting so serious in these relationships that can't possibly be serious. You can't fall in love on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. It's impossible.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Have they had many marriages come out of that?
No, I think like two in the 20 years they've been doing this.
And none of neither.
They've been doing it for 20 years?
Well, like 10
Seems
or 11
like
years, but two every single year. So it's
they
at least
do a lot
20,
of seasons.
25 seasons.
And both of them are like, the marriages lasted like a week and a half. Right.
Now, there's some people that break up before the actual finale airs. So they're already over by the time we see them get together.
Wow.
What's the appeal?
I don't know. I mean, last episode,
well, you
a
must.
Guy,
no,
a
you
guy
watch
cried
it.
For a good 3 minutes, and I thought it was really funny, which is maybe dark and mean. But he got thrown off in what they call a two-on-one date. Two guys get to go on a date with the lady, and then she picks one and sends the other one home. And in the cab, he was like, why am I crying? Why am I crying? And he kept crying, and it was actually juxtaposed to the winner dancing to Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, in Spanish, at a like kind of concert in Argentina. So I thought that was really funny. I thought that was very well done, and I laughed at the man's sadness. That's what I was doing. That's what I get.
This wow. Get. So you just do it to feel superior.
I do. Exactly correct.
Okay. Well, that's
great,
healthy.
It was, I don't know. It was a really good episode and really well edited that moment. They seem to be having a great time. The guy that won and the other guy seemed just crushed, devastated.
Okay. So we have no, like we mentioned earlier, Janine and I are watching Orange is the New Black. We're in the fourth season and we're really enjoying it. It's a well-written-ish
show. Very well-acted, too.
But that's the point. That's the point of that show is the cast is amazing. I don't know that there's a weak one in it.
The surrounding cast, too, because Chapman was sort of the most interesting.
And now, in the fourth season, she's sort of peripheral.
She's one of my least favorite characters.
Yeah, she's terrible this year. She's really just a mean person, too. All the
Well, it's weird because she tries to become all gangsta, and it's like, no, come on. Really?
It's just like, oh, come on.
You're
ridiculous.
Intimidating no one.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I mean, a heavy, you know, a stiff breeze would blow you away. Anyway.
How far are you guys into the season?
We're what, episode three?
Okay.
Four? Yeah. So we're almost.
Right. I think Chapman's eventually going to get murdered, but I don't want to ruin anything for you. I haven't seen that. I just think it's going to happen.
Okay. You just,
oh, really?
Wow.
I think so. I think because she's getting all intimidating and stuff, and she's not.
Yeah, she's making enemies.
Yeah, you know.
So, okay, what show have you binged that you just said, this sucks?
Just an awful, terrible
show? Yeah, that's supposed to be good, even. I mean, there's some.
I'm assuming that you would not binge the whole thing if you didn't like it. You'd quit.
So, there was a show I was challenged to that I never actually wound up making a recording of, and that was how to get away with the murder show. What's the murder show?
Oh, Making,
Making
a Murderer.
The Murderer. Yeah, thank you. That show was beyond boring to me. I watched it.
Really?
I couldn't get into it.
Oh, see,
we watched that.
The murderer seems like a bad person, so I didn't understand why everyone was so, you know, going
well,
to
but he's not. Well, but the thing is, he was convicted of a crime he didn't commit.
That's probably true.
And
what I hear.
And so he gets out.
Well, that was definitely true.
Okay.
That was a for sure thing.
Right? Wow. All the way through.
And then there's like his nephew, who obviously is autistic to a pretty significant degree. He gets
railroaded.
He gets railroaded, and he's in prison. You know, does the bat? You know, the guy who was convicted of the crime, did he do it? There's a lot of stuff they left out, by the way, of the documentary. There's a number of things they left out.
A lot of things that make him look more innocent or more guilty?
More guilty.
Okay.
More guilty.
See,
so
that editing confuses me then, too. I also did a Christmas challenge where I asked two people to come in and challenge me to their favorite Christmas episodes of any show.
Oh, really?
And some of the Christmas episodes I got challenged to were terrible. Even the Happy Days one, the Fonzie episode.
What?
It's not a good episode, Happy Days. Fonz doesn't want to tell everyone that he doesn't have any family to go visit, so eventually, like, Richie and the dad have to come in and make him go to their family holiday thing, and it's terrible.
Well, it's
not
the Fonz being pathetic. That's
exactly
wrong.
Thank you.
Oh, sad Fonz? No, that's
no sense.
That's my least favorite Fonz is sad Fonz, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, except for the one jumping the shark, but that's something totally different. You know which one you should watch, which will stun you how good it is, consistently good, and that is, I bet you haven't, or maybe you have, The Dick Van Dyke Show.
Oh, no, I haven't seen
it. Don't forget, back in the day, it wasn't just 13 episodes, it was like 32, or it was some ungodly number of episodes a year, so you will spend a lot of time watching this, but there are two or three that you don't see in the heavy rotation during, when they're in reruns now, and they were, one of them is jaw-dropping. Because
jaw-droppingly good.
No, no.
Okay.
Oh, no. No. Oh, no.
It's quite terrible.
It is shocking, actually, because it is a friend of theirs is a wife beater.
Wow.
And at the end of it, they say, oh, that's just Phil.
Right.
Oh, gosh.
Now you know why it's never in rotation.
Yeah, it is. It is literally, you will literally watch this and just go,
what?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, should you be doing that? Well, what the heck? That's Phil.
You know? Wow.
Yeah. No, that's what you'll say after you go, oh, wow.
Yeah, see, that's...
So there's one or two episodes like that, but the rest of it is very good, very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, one of the greatest laughs in television history when they give birth and Dick is convinced that it's not his baby. And the couple comes over and he opens the door and he looks at them and then he looks at Laura, looks at them again, and it happens to be an African-American couple.
Oh, wow. No, so, it's funny. You mentioned the older shows, too. Steve Dale wants me to do Lucy and Desi, or I think it's just I Love Lucy.
I Love Lucy,
all of it, yeah. And I can't. There's too many episodes of that show. I've seen it. I've seen a lot of it on TV. I've seen the classic episodes, but it's too much. And my podcast, you're limited. I can't watch 150 episodes each
week. Now, there's something different.
It can take a year to watch something.
I can't,
so.
No.
There's something different about binge-watching versus watching it the old-fashioned way,
sure,
which was, you know, it's weird. And now I'm going to sound as old as I actually am, because it used to be you had to wait till the next week to see the episode of whatever you were watching. And now, I mean, they're producing shows that are designed to be binge watch. Orange is the New Black.
Yeah,
the fourth season, boom. House of Cards, boom. You know, it all comes out. I wonder, though, I mean, like the Dick Van Dyke Show is an interesting example, which was a show that was supposed to be viewed, obviously, once a week. But when it's seen back to back to back to back to back, it's really even better.
Sometimes, like I mentioned with Criminal Minds, sometimes it's not better. Sometimes it's really scary and you want to like curl up into the corner and cry. But sometimes you're right. It is better. What's the most shows you guys have ever watched in one sitting? The most episodes of anything?
Oh, we picked up the DVD for Firefly.
Oh, I love that show.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
We took
best show
to watch
ever.
It.
Yeah.
So what was it? We watched several episodes. I think maybe
Serenity.
It took us two nights. And then we finished the last episode of Firefly, and we watched it around the time Serenity, the movie, had already come out,
got
was
it.
On DVD. Watched it, went straight to the store to buy the movie at like midnight, and watched it.
It's a wise decision. That movie
yes.
is amazing.
Yes. I'd say that and Heroes, the first season.
Oh, yeah. The only good season. Of
right.
Heroes.
Yes.
I have done that for the podcast now, too.
What's that?
Yeah, Heroes. I watched Heroes.
The whole thing?
Actually, yeah.
Because the second season, holy Mary, the wheels come off. It's terrible.
Yeah, we also did Lost. I did that one, and we picked specific seasons,
okay.
and you had to flip a coin for a good one or a bad
one. You want to watch Craig get mad? That ending, the last episode of Lost, I think was fantastic.
Oh, it's the worst. It's terrible. It's predictable. It's awful. Every part
it's
about
not predictable. It's religious.
It makes
they
no
have...
sense. The fight between Jack and the smoke monster, what are they fighting for? Nothing. It makes no sense that fight's even in there, because they're all just going into the church anyway.
That's right. It's purgatory. And purgatory, as explained to me, Janine's been taking Bible study, so
I
she knows these things.
Right.
So purgatory is what?
Basically, you go and you get ready to go to heaven.
Right.
You learn to exonerate and to...
And you enjoy it. You love it.
I don't think people love purgatory. Purgatory is not a fun place. That
no,
sounds like
you're
an
doing
awful
the
place.
According to like Dante...
Okay.
That you're going and you have this awful thing, but you do it with
wow.
joy because you will be going to heaven.
We're quoting Dante.
Shortly.
This is a fancy show.
We're
going to
be reading it in the original Italian next.
This is awesome.
Did I tell you I wanted to read the Declaration of Independence and Janine won't let me because it's too boring?
Move on.
No, do yeah. it. Let's do it.
It's really, really, really long.
It sounds long and boring, yeah.
It's not boring. Good Lord, man.
It's not boring to read. It's very boring to listen to someone else read it. Yeah.
Now, are there gonna be like notes? Are you going to give notes as you read it?
No.
Would it be like just little, you know?
I thought we'd
else?
Just trade off reading it.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
but apparently that, yeah, I thought that would be better radio than I guess it will be. So it won't be.
Okay. All right. These are ideas. That's an okay one.
You have a popper. Throw a popper.
I do. I have poppers. I brought them in for the 4th of July. I figured this was the most appropriate. Oh, no. It didn't
Uh-oh.
Pop. Oh,
that's
no.
That's a dud.
Wait. Oh, there
Woo!
We go.
Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July. Those are really loud. Nope. A lot of them.
You know, someone's going to want, you're going to forget to pick one up, and whoever uses the studio next is going to be surprised.
Yeah, they're
going to
dislike me.
I hope they're not, you know, coming in barefoot or anything.
Yeah, it's totally fine.
So you're going to be able to stick around?
Because yeah, sure.
we've got.
Poppers.
We got poppers, and we've got wine, we've got water, we've got cheese and crackers. Did you see the cheese and crackers? Oh, you can't have the crackers.
Really
can you have cheese?
Yeah, I can have cheese, I think.
All right.
Yeah, and I'm going to turn on Game of Thrones somewhere in this room.
Okay.
So, you can watch it.
So Martin Marrow is coming on, a comedian, up and coming. If you haven't heard of him, you're going to, because the guy is fantastic. We spent this afternoon watching his work and laughed really, really, really hard. So he's coming in to talk to us about comedy and what he's up to lately. He's actually doing some nice stuff, and he's got a very important benefit coming up. So that's kind of cool. We're going to be here with Craig Collins, and we've got Janine Fadich and me. I'm Scott Stans filling in for Nick DiGilio. We've also got later in the show, we've got Cheryl Sloan. You want to stick around for that? She's from G Boutique.
I want to meet Cheryl.
Yeah. Have you know who she is? She's a proprietor of G Boutique, which is an adult kind of a place. So we're going to talk about stuff like that. I'm a prude. That's one of the reasons I wanted her on is because I am a total prude.
I saw you share that on Facebook that she was part of the show tonight, and I was actually very shocked.
Why?
Because
he knows you're a prude.
Well, and you've been on Patty's show so much, and you always talk about the person at your church who would judge this harshly, correct?
Yeah, there's no person.
Okay.
It's me. I just judge. No, there's a person. My organist. Which, again, sounds metaphorical, right. And it's not. She actually plays the organ at my church.
I hope she doesn't listen to that part of the show.
What's her first name? I can never...
Maxine.
Maxine. I always forget
Maxine. Maxine turned the radio off at that time.
Yeah, I think you're gonna want to. just throwing it out there.
Yeah, no, that's probably a good call.
Wow, it's like new agey, folks. I'm Scott Standis. We hope you're doing great here on this 4th of July night. I'm Scott Standis, filling in for Nick DiGilio. I'm joined by Janine Fadich. Craig Collins is also here with us.
Hello.
And we are being joined by, if you haven't heard of Martin Morrow, am I saying that correctly? Morrow, like tomorrow. Okay, Martin Morrow. Then you're going to, because my wife, Janine, and I spent the entire afternoon watching your videos, and he is incredibly funny. Which is good, because you're a comedian.
Yes, it'd be weird if I was not funny, but I still did this.
Yeah, it could be like, he's a sad comedian. Sort of like a sad... What?
I think, go ahead.
Sorry, didn't have your levels up. Let's try this again. He's a comedian who's very funny, which is important because you're a comedian.
Yes.
Take two. Okay, we're going to go by there. He is coming up. Where did you just... You work tonight, right?
I did a show at Second City earlier today.
Still not up.
Oh, hello?
There we go.
Let's try that.
That's it.
There we go.
Okay, now we got it. I'm sorry. I'm working the boards, and I'm stupid.
No.
Third time. He's a very funny comedian. He's just performing here in Chicago.
Takes, don't worry. We'll remove all that in editing.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
We'll fix it.
Live radio is great, especially when they have imbeciles in charge of it. I apologize for that. Honest to God, Martin Morrow, like tomorrow, is... honest to God, we watched your videos all afternoon and we were laughing our asses off. It was just tremendous.
Well,
so,
thank you.
Up and coming. You're in your early... You're like... This is so weird. I'm having guys on my show now who are younger than my kids.
Oh. How old are your kids?
30 and 28.
Oh, okay. I'm creeping up.
All right.
I'll be 28 in August.
So. Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Were we doing anything special?
So far, I'm doing a show at Second City.
I
want people to bring plenty of cake and presents. I love t-shirts.
really?
Yes.
Okay.
What size?
Small or medium. I'm sort of in between. So.
Yeah, my nephew calls that, he wishes there was a smedium.
Smedium, yeah. I know there are some places that actually sell smedium.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, now we know. Where? Tell us off the air, because then we can go and get stuff for my nephew.
I do not know. So if you can find them, then please let me know, because I'm desperate need for them. I bought a shirt today from Urban Outfitters, and I was like, okay, well, I can go for small or medium, and just maybe I'll either have to lose weight or do a lot of push-ups soon. So
so you work tonight?
I did a show earlier today at the Second City called Sunday Bloody Mary Sunday.
See, I looked at your schedule on your website, and that is Martin Morrow, that's MartinMorrowComedy.com, right?
MartinMorrowComedy.com.
MartinMorrowComedy.com. Yes. Okay, well, I was really, really close on that one.
No, I need to buy the domain for Martin Morrow. Somebody else has it.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Someone else has Stantis, and it's a German guy, and you need a password to get into it, so I have no idea what it is. Stantis is...
You probably don't want to know.
It's a bastardized Lithuanian name.
Mm.
So, yeah. Seriously, I'm like, okay, I don't want to know. I really don't want to know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so MartinMorrowComedy.com. Go there.
He has an amazing photo on the front page here, too. This is really great.
Yeah.
You got a huge smile, and you look like you just told the best joke ever.
Oh, I did.
Okay, good.
No, that's
well, he does tell the best joke ever, because he is from Alabama. We just moved from Alabama. You went to Auburn. My son and my daughter-in-law went to War Eagle.
Whoa, War Eagle.
I don't know.
War Eagle is what they say at Auburn, because Auburn is the Tigers or the Plainsmen. So, of course, you say War Eagle.
Yes.
It makes perfect sense.
Does it make more sense, Esmeralda?
Sure.
Roll Tide.
Ho.
The old battle cry.
It's so funny. It's blood sport. I mean, in Alabama.
Auburn. It's the fandom for football down there is insane.
Do you care? Do you care?
Not anymore. I have way too many student loans to care anymore. When I was there, oh, I loved it. But then when I got out and I was like, oh, I owe you guys a lot of money, then I was like, oh, I don't need to get so much into the
what
football.
Part of Birmingham are you from?
Trustville.
Oh, okay. I know we were from Hoover.
Oh, look at that.
We still have a house there, actually.
Our kids live there still.
Well, I know if I ever go back, I'd have a place to stay.
You have a place to stay. And every other kid, apparently, including ours, just moves back in. So what the hell? Come on down. So Birmingham, when you tell people you're from Birmingham, what's the reaction usually? I mean,
usually the question I get is, how racist is it down there? Or they apologize. But then also just like people ask, like, oh, there's an assumption that it's very country. But Birmingham is like the city just surrounded by the country.
Right. Yeah. Birmingham actually has, I mean, it's a booming city right now, as is Huntsville.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're building rockets.
Both are incredible.
But see, I was going to say, I watched your stand-up, and you talk about the racism in Birmingham, and it actually has some of the most desegregated neighborhoods in the country, believe it or not. It really does, given Chicago, which is the third most segregated city in America. Yes!
Yes!
Yeah, but then I was going to kind of give you a little bit of hell for the perceived racism of Birmingham, and then this just hit the wires this afternoon from AL.com, the newspaper, the news website down there in Alabama. I want to show this to you. This was found in a place called Mountain Brook, which is sort of the Gold Coast of Birmingham. Can you read some of that for us?
Oh, boy. I feel like it's going to get chopped up in the future. And they're like, oh, listen to Martin Morrow say this terrible stuff.
You don't have to if you feel
uncomfortable. It says, transgender is an abomination according to the King James Bible. And it quotes Deuteronomy 22:5, which, of course, is the best Bible section if you're like, oh, I kind of feel hateful. It says, a woman shall not wear the pertinenth unto a man. I don't even know what that word means.
Pertaineth, I think, is what it is.
No, I'm not going to learn that. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. And then this guy kept going. And then says, the KKK wants you. There you go.
There it is.
So they're expanding their hate.
Yeah, their hate. You have to respect the thing that their hate is not specific, but they're not afraid to learn new hate.
Yeah, but this business card is way too big. Like, this is like, come on, Klan. You gotta like get a smaller card. Like, try to fill your hate into a smaller portion.
You could never fit that in your wallet.
Not at all. It's the digital age. You gotta like you know, say, hey, cut the Bible verse. Be like, hey, you guys into hate? Well, guess what? We got a new
hashtag hate.
Hashtag hate right there. Then put the website and, you know.
Janine actually read the rest of it before we went
actually
there.
Looked it up to see if it was really there. Because
did you know
did.
It was there?
I did not.
Now you know. See, you learn something. And knowledge is power. Now, what there's other stuff in there, too. Because we can kill our son, which is awesome.
Right, because if they're rebellious, you can bring them to the elders, and they'll just go ahead and stone them for you.
Oh, you don't have to do it yourself?
No, the elders do it for you.
Oh, that's a service that's provided for free. That's nice.
Although, I don't know if I'd want the elders of Alabama trying to stone anybody, because their arms are very weak
now. It's
going
to take a
while. They don't really exercise a lot.
It'd be a chore.
But I always like all these Bible things where they just sort of pick and choose stuff that they like. Obviously, the KKK has not looked at this one, which is Deuteronomy 22.
Something else.
Something
24, out. Yes. Cursed is he who strikes his neighbor in secret, and all the people shall say amen.
Which is sort of like...
Isn't that what the KKK does? Strikes their neighbors in secret?
You guys have one of the most educational shows on WGN at 3 o'clock in the morning. We've quoted Dante. We've quoted the Bible a couple times. This is amazing.
Yeah.
And Martin Morrow.
Yes.
How cool is that? Yeah, let me because there's other parts that need to be read here.
Yeah,
because it says there is no confusion. If you have a penis, use the men's room. If you have a vagina, use the ladies' room.
What Bible verse is that though?
From the KKK 1-1. It says, you are confused and don't know what sex you are today, use a tree out in the backyard. It's actually in bold.
Oh wow! Real
I'm not kidding. That is actually from our hometown.
Yeah. The Klan is not too big on tree rights, though. You would think. You would think, given the Klan's history with trees, they'd be like, hey, we should probably look out for these trees now. Like they've.
So with the exception of the KKK spreading its little cards all over the place, especially when I first came up here, people say, "Where are you from?" And I'd say, "I came here from Birmingham, Alabama. I'm originally actually from Southern California, but Birmingham, Alabama. We lived there for a number of years, and they look at me and they don't know what to make of it. They just sort of go, "Huh?" And I say, "No, we put the dogs and the hoses away. I swear to God, we really have."
Yes. Although there are statues that that represent it now in the parks there. So,
yeah, we've got that. Yeah. But that's supposed to be part of the Civil Rights Museum there, which is actually fabulous.
It is incredible.
It's a really great
museum.
I'll say
it's my favorite.
We're going to take a quick break. We're here with Martin Morrow. Am I still saying that right?
You are.
Okay. Craig Collins, Janine Fadich. I'm Scott Stans filling in for Nick DiGilio. You're listening to Chicago's Own 720 WGN. We are back. I'm Scott Stans, filling in for vacationing Nick DiGilio, here with Janine Fadich, Craig Collins, and Martin Morrow, comedian here. Now, I was looking at your schedule. You are working like every night forever. Is that accurate?
Pretty much, until someone pays me more money, so I don't have to do that anymore.
So tell me some of the shows that are coming up.
I got Comedy Bar this weekend over above Gino's East on LaSalle. We at the Laugh Factory doing Chicago. We got a benefit for the Pulse shooting victims over in Orlando. So that'll be at the Laugh Factory on Belmont and Broadway. Also doing this week's show on Thursday. That is at Barcelona over on Clark Street. And then I think a Second City matinee show also on Saturday at 4 p.m. on the Second City main stage.
Holy schmollies.
When do you sleep?
Usually right now.
So. Well, we appreciate you having us. We're actually, we've got...
you have a bunch of shows the same night? Like, you do a bunch of shows in the same
night? Yeah, you, like, travel. How do you not get a ticket? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No. Scott, it's your show. I'm just curious, how do you make it to all these places? Do you have some sort of, like, time machine, or can you warp somehow?
A lot of faith in the people pushing me back, or hoping that shows start late.
Or in Uber drivers and them following GPSs?
Yes, yes. Having good Uber drivers, Lyft drivers. Sometimes I have to resort to cab drivers now.
Okay.
Sometimes I miss them. Sometimes with the shows, and that's always very disheartening, but it's part of the biz.
Yeah, that's amazingly impressive, though. Your traveling skills are incredible. You probably could be a taxi driver, I assume, now, with your ability to take like shortcuts and things.
I would hope not, but if the city was that desperate, if Rom messed up that bad, then sure, I will drive.
whatever.
Yeah. I was watching one of the videos, and you said you've been shot by a paintball.
I have been shot by a paintball.
Now, who shot you?
This was for Frank Fontana over at Craftsman.
Just for kicks? For
it was like I said I was willing to take a paintball shot for the show.
They hurt.
It was a lot. Yeah, I had the scar on my chest for over a year.
Do you tell the ladies it's from Fallujah? I mean,
no, it wasn't too noticeable in the dark. So
I played paintball once, and it was against I was helping my son's Boy Scout troop, and so someone had the bright idea. Okay, for one of the rounds, it's going to be the Boy Scouts against the parents, and won't that be awesome? No, it was not, because it was like a scene from, I can't even describe it, a spaghetti western. Was like, and they don't stop shooting.
Yeah.
And so one of them actually got under my mask and hit my chin, and there's like a golf ball size contusion. Another father got hit just above the eye. It was a massacre of biblical proportion. It was horrible. So
it did look really bad. It looked like you guys had been beaten up.
Yeah, so the fact that you actually did that voluntarily makes me question your sensibility, frankly.
Yeah. Well, I'll say my scout troop is very different from yours in that regard as well. We never
they didn't
like,
have to work out daddy issues with violence.
No, we walked through mazes and camped. We never shot each other with stuff. So,
I mean, you also talk about dating services. Now, what's your experience with that? I mean, I've been married since I was born, pretty much. So, I mean, tell me a little bit about that.
I mean, I tried my hand at OkCupid for a little bit, and this is in Alabama. and it did not work out too well. So, like, we mentioned the race stuff in Alabama. This was probably, like, I would say one of the top five most racist things that happened to me. There was a girl I hit up at Katie Lydia for, and as an icebreaker, I was like, hey, which one's your favorite football team, Alabama or Auburn? Because, you know, everyone down there loves that stuff. And then her response was, whichever one hates N-words more. And I was like, whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah, I was like, okay, well, apparently I signed up for OKKKCupid. That's what I learned.
Are you still on them? I mean, are you still?
No, I'm off. I realized that my personality is too big for online dating websites.
Why is that? I mean, a friend of mine's daughter showed me Tinder, you know, back and forth and back and, you know, and all that, the swipe left or swipe right. It just seemed bizarre to me and just not ugly in a way, but maybe I'm old. So
I just can't imagine that being how people have to, like, you know, their How We Met story in the future of like, oh, well, I saw their face and I've moved my hand.
When I was looking to hook up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tried to swipe left, but I guess I swiped right, but it worked out, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
so.
Then we had you, so we're all happy, I guess.
Oh, Grandma, you're making me misty. So tell me a little bit about the Laugh Factory event, because this is for, I'm saying this wrong, I'm sure, Chigago.
Yeah, so this guy, Scott Duff, who's an amazing stand-up comedian here in Chicago, and he's also a gay comedian and big gay rights advocate. He's put this together, this show. They do it once a month. And so this upcoming Thursday, because it's the first Thursday of every month, so we got myself, Scott, Gwen LaRocca, and plenty of other amazing comedians, and it's just a benefit. Like, the money is being raised to send to the victims of the Orlando shooting.
Well, that's wonderful. So that's July 7th?
Yeah.
Laugh Factory.
8 p.m.
8 p.m. So you guys should go. You are also the producer of one of the highest acclaimed comedy shows in the country, according to your own bio. Comedians You Should Know.
Yes.
How did that happen?
Oh, so that show's been around for close to 10 years. I think they're running.
You've been producing it for 10 years?
I have not been producing the show for 10 years. I got asked to be a part of it about 2 years ago, which was a blessing because people, like, comedians clamor to be a part of this show from all around the country.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah,
I bet.
It is easily the best show in Chicago. And I always, anytime someone asks me, like, what are the comedy shows to see in Chicago, that is number one. Because we put up the best stand-up comedians from around the country. We've had guests like Nick Vatterott, T.J. Miller, Hannibal Buress, and plenty of others. But we make sure to always make sure that it is the absolute best show that someone will see for the week of that they're in Chicago.
How much time does it take to put that together? I mean, do you review all the... I mean, like you said, people are clamoring to be on it. I mean, these comedians must be frothing at the mouth to...
Oh, yeah. We have meetings where we have to book people to be on the show that take...
Do you already know their work?
Yeah, people we've seen around. We have to watch videos. It does take a lot of work, and so we'll have meetings up to 4 hours where we have to deliberate, because it's a team of producers. So it's myself, this guy Danny Callis, Kristen Toomey, Ricky Gonzalez, Michael Sanchez, and Marty DeRosa, who piece together and see, like, okay, who do we want? Who will be good for this show? Who will be good for our room? Who will be good for our audience? And it. We make sure to really put up the absolute best that you'll see.
Where is the venue? How could people go see this?
It's at Timothy O'Toole's Pub. I think it's on 925 Fairbanks Court. It's on Fairbanks Court.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a website I'm sure you could...
Yeah, comedianyoushouldknow.com.
Okay, yeah. Cool. So when do you... Well, I got to get into process, and I know this may be boring to some people, but to me it's fascinating. Mm-hmm. Your process. Now, some comedians I know, Will Durst is one of them, writes in a spurt. He'll just take time off, just I'd get drunk or stoned or whatever he does, and just write. Mm-hmm. How do you write?
It's very, very different process. So sometimes an idea just comes to me, and I have a notepad in my phone. I have a notebook that I also keep with me. In my backpack. I have to carry a backpack around like a sixth grader going to homeroom. And just anytime an idea comes to me, or if I, like, see something in the news or just something happens on the train, I just write it down or keep it in my brain. So if I'm not able to access something, or if I'm like, oh, this situation is too weird for me to just pull my phone out, then I don't write it down then, and I have to, like, trust myself to either remember it, and if I don't remember it, then I have to convince myself it wasn't funny enough to remember, which could also be sort of disheartening. But for the most part, it's just, like, you know, I'm a hard believer in truth in comedy. So things that happen in real life, like real life situations happen to me, or things that have been in my past, and just embellishing on the situations.
Yeah, Louis C.K. talked about when George Carlin passed away, and he talked about how Carlin convinced him, he said, you just have to keep rewriting your material. Mm-hmm. And what that forces you to do is plumb brand new material, brand new depths that you didn't even know you had. Mm-hmm. And it makes it interesting and new and original. But trying to remember gags is, I mean, for me, I'll be in bed or just falling asleep. Those are when the good ones show up, or you think they're good. And you'll say, okay, skateboarding cat. Okay, God. Okay, I'll remember that in the morning. And in the morning, you've totally forgotten it, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And you spend an hour and a half going, okay, skateboarding. And then you finally remember it, and the gag sucked.
Yeah.
All that effort for nothing.
Oh, I've had so many terrible jokes. So many.
Hey, listen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having
me. I appreciate it. Okay, give us the dates and your upcoming gigs one more time.
So, yeah, October 7th. October.
October, geez. Wow.
Wow, I'm thinking way ahead here. I will actually be in China in October.
Oh, nice.
For the Chinese listeners. but no, July 7th, you can check me out. The Comedy Bar, downtown Chicago, as well as Laugh Active for Chicago, that benefit. Also, both of those are 8 o'clock. And then this week's show at 9 o'clock at Barcelona. And then Comedy Bar all weekend. And Second City Matinee show also this Saturday.
If someone wants to follow you, they can follow you. Your hashtag is?
At Martin M. Morrow on every piece of social media.
And your webpage?
MartinMorrowComedy.com.
So go there and see this guy. Honest to goodness, when you years from now, you're going to say, I heard him win. I swear to God.
Yes.
Martin, thanks for being on, man.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks. You're listening to Chicago's Own 720 WGN. And we are back. I'm Scott Stannis, filling in for vacationing Nick DiGilio. I'm joined, of course, by my bestest friend in the whole wide world, Janine Fadich. Craig Collins is a friend, not my bestest friend.
No,
not
but
my
a
bestest,
friend, sure.
But a friend. And we have Cheryl Sloan joining us from G Boutique. I'm saying that right.
So
I'm one of the clever boys, yeah.
Scott, are you aware of what was just put up on the counter here? I know there's a lot of monitors in front of you, but on our radio counter, some things have been laid out in front of us. Go ahead and continue your introduction,
some
but yeah, some items are sitting in front of me.
What are you talking about? What am I?
Can you see?
Are these okay? Yep, she's lifting them up now.
Oh goodness! Okay. Well, those are things there.
WGNRadio.com. You can watch on the live
now, okay,
stream.
Okay. Now she's holding up. Can you hold that up, Matt? Matt, hold it. Do yes. I want to hold it? Is it clean?
What is it?
I'm going to guess this goes on. Okay. Cheryl, welcome to the show.
Welcome to
Thank
the show.
Thank you.
Are you on? Your mic
Am
is on.
Am I on?
You're on. You got to get your face right into that mic.
Right here.
You don't know where it's been, but
okay.
I'm going to ask you to do that anyway.
Well, you know.
You are the owner?
You're holding the screaming O'Hare, so.
Is that what? It looks like, for those of you who aren't watching us, can they see us on
They can't see on the stream, I believe.
They cannot see us on the stream. It is a ring, a double ring, and then it's something that looks like a bunny. Now, does this vibrate, this yellow part?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a little button, and the bunny vibrates.
Oh, my goodness. There it is. I preface this by saying that I am a prude.
Yes.
Oh, it's variable speed, apparently.
I can hear it vibrating. Wow. All right.
Wow. Okay, so there's this.
Uh-huh. So it's a couple's toy.
It's a couple. Well, yeah, because I can't imagine you enjoying it. It goes on the male member and,
yes.
And then vibrates like that. That must be, I can imagine that does have an effect of some kind. It looks like a bunny.
It's cute, and it's pink. And it's pink.
This is an amazing radio segment. Scott just sort of explains toys to us, adult toys. That's
well,
a
I don't,
great segment.
Okay, like I said, like that. I said before the break, and I'm saying it now, I'm a bit of a prude. I am. I used to preface things by saying, I may be a prude, I don't know, but blah, 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 blah. No, I am.
Okay, it's fine. That's why we have our store. Our store is made for you.
At 2064 North Damon Avenue.
That's brand new space. We just moved after
13
years.
Oh, from where?
Years. From a block away.
Oh.
2131.
How's business?
It's good.
Okay, so let's role play.
Well, I want to know how did you get into this? Because before you were with Second City and you've done a multitude of amazing things. So what brought
Why
you into this?
Right? Well, it was a girlfriend's thing, I would say. Uh-huh. Just kind of talking to girlfriends and realizing that we all wanted a place like G Boutique to go. and that we were not really comfortable going to some of the places that existed 13 years ago. And we said, let's try it. Let's do it. I had general managed a group of a series of shows in Chicago that, let's say, weren't the biggest hits in the world. And not with Second City. This mm-hmm. was different. And I had taken a break from that and wanted to do something new. So we tried it, thinking, we'll give it a try. We'll see. Maybe it'll work. Maybe yeah. not. You know,
we found did it work right away?
And it worked, apparently.
It worked right away.
What works?
What works is creating an environment where women are comfortable shopping. And men, too. That was the surprise, was that we created this store to make women feel comfortable buying toys and beautiful lingerie, by the way, too. We have great lingerie. And what we realized was that men were so much more comfortable coming into our store than a lot of other stores that they actually chose to come in and buy things for women in their lives.
Well, the whole thing has changed. And, you know, I mentioned in the earlier segments I'm from Birmingham, Alabama, and I'm not making this up. This is still strikes me as bizarre. You need a prescription.
Yes.
To get an adult toy in Alabama.
But I don't think they really do that.
Well, you said your friend bought one.
Yeah, I said I went to one in Huntsville with my friend. And
how do you get a prescription? Do you go to the doctor?
The doctor,
and you have some
yes.
sort of ailment? Yeah. You have to have some sort of thing?
There's got to be some there's probably some 19th century, like, remember, because that's when the vibrator right. was invented, is that right. it was invented because she was having hallucinations
right,
or something.
Hysteria, right?
It was right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, so you don't need a prescription in Chicago.
Good.
Okay, so that's good.
You want to hear the weirdest thing? I guest hosted a show in Birmingham, a morning drive for a week. And I was there with a buddy, and we would have this running argument that couples who swing don't, I say they don't stay together. The one few I've known who do haven't. He swears that it can work and actually save a marriage. We brought a marriage counselor in on this, but a cursory look on Google saw that there were 25 swing clubs in the Birmingham area alone. The buckle of the Bible Belt.
Because absolutely. They can't have sex toys. So.
Right.
But you need the prescription for the sex toys. But here in Chicago, sex clubs are illegal. Swing
right.
clubs.
Well, so we see more swingers from the suburbs than the city.
Well,
so
yeah.
Maybe funny. That's the same type of thing. What did the marriage counselor say? Because my feeling on that is it works or it doesn't work depending on the couple.
Yeah, that was pretty much his take.
I mean, it depends on how you communicate, right? So if you communicate well, then lots of things can work. And if you don't communicate well, then a lot of things won't work.
Right.
And it's just another thing like that.
It's still honest. And like I said, it just doesn't seem like something that can work. But as you said, you know, and that's what the marriage counselor said. And he deals with this stuff more than I do.
You right. know, what's interesting about your store is that I bet you get a lot of people in that are just couples that are trying something like this for the first time. Maybe they're trying to incorporate a toy into the relationship. Do they try to have conversations with you first and ask questions? Or are they people that are kind of like, can you tell the new people from anyone else?
Well, yes. The answer is yes, of course. And yes, they have conversations with us. They usually do a little research online first.
Sure.
And then they're like, okay, we looked online. We don't know what to say. So we're coming in here. And we do get a lot of people who haven't purchased a toy, both couples and, you know, singles, just
sure.
women. We had grown-up women who have never purchased a toy before. So we have a whole kind of talk that we go through with people to try to figure out what they want. And people's first question is, what's your best seller?
And well, I was going to ask that, actually.
Yeah, so right.
I guess
okay.
Go ahead, cross
which,
it out.
Which, you know, I can say,
dang
I can
it.
Tell you what our best sellers are, but that doesn't mean that that's the best seller for you.
What is the best seller,
you
though?
Know?
I'm
well,
curious.
You know, rabbits are still up there in the best sellers, but our best sellers are couples toys. And so the Wee Vibe, which I can't show you right now because I didn't bring it, but it's a couples toy. So it's meant to be used while you're having sex. So, and couples love it. It's the most popular couples toy in the world. So I can say sex on WWE.
You can. I'm just watching Jazz is laughing. She's giggling.
I'm looking at your face. That's why I'm laughing.
Well, okay.
Right,
I think I've got that look on. Okay. What can I say? What can't I say?
Yes.
This is radio. We're in dark water. So we have a little more.
Sex, too. I looked away from everyone. I just looked towards the ground. I had no idea what anyone was doing.
Well, I mean, that is a great question. I mean, so let's say Jenny and I walk in. You know, you got guy. I'm going to be that nervous guy, right?
Right.
And, I mean, what do you say to us? Walk us through this. That's what I meant earlier when I said, let's roll.
How do you calm us down?
calm you down? Well, first of all, if you walk in, it means you've already made the decision that you want to try this. So that's cool. So we talk to you. We welcome you. you know, I might ask you if you want a glass of wine or something if you seem really nervous. But usually I'll welcome you and we'll start talking about the toys. And we start talking about, like, what it is that you're looking for. Are you looking for something to use together? Are you looking for something to use separately? Are you looking for something to just use externally? Are you looking for something internally? So all these things matter, because a lot of times people will buy something and then not use it for its intended purpose because they think they want this rabbit that twirls around and has beads and buzzes and vibrates and does all these things.
I'm sorry, I'm 12.
Okay.
So
I know. That's okay. It's a giggle. We giggle every day. I've been doing this for 14 years. I giggle every day. Okay. So we love it. We love the giggling part. I have one here that vibrates to your voice. Okay.
No. Can you?
Yeah.
This will be good radio.
So you can play with it. But so basically, I'm just
looking at Craig, who's now different shade, many shades of red.
We're turning many of these things on. No, go ahead.
We want you to get something that you're really going to use, and so we.
So it's like Siri.
We make you. Yeah. This is like Siri. We make you pick everything up. We make you touch it, feel it. You know what? Look at it. See what you're attracted to visually. See what you're attracted to in feeling. See what's comfortable in your hands. And eventually you calm down, because picking up a bunch of vibrators makes you giggle.
Yes, it really does.
And so my advice is, like, whatever you buy, this is the worst that can happen in the bedroom, is that you're going to turn this thing on, try to figure out how to use it, and really laugh a lot in the bedroom.
Which is a good thing.
That is exactly.
Yeah.
So that,
once
so
you're
we
not
won.
Laughing
we
at
win.
Each other. Yeah.
Right? So,
well, I'll tell you what, before you demonstrate, we have to go to a quick break for traffic. But when we come back, we're going to have the Siri vibrator demonstration. I think this may be the first time in radio history. Would that be correct?
That's the best tease I've ever heard.
Okay. You're listening to Chicago's Own 720 WGN. We're back here on Chicago's Own WGN 720. I'm Scott Stannis, filling in for Nick D. That's right. Nick D. It's getting late. Nick D is good. I'm joined by my bestest friend in the whole wide world, Janine Faddich, and of course, Craig Collins. And we're also joined by Cheryl Sloan. I just picked this up to make sure I got that correct. Who, owner, proprietor, goddess, what's the title?
Goddess
all of
it.
That works.
Of G Boutique at 2064 North Damon. They sell adult toys and beautiful, beautiful lingerie. And we're talking about, during the break, she showed us some of the vibrators here. And the one that's voice activated. Now, that one, I'm a dude, and I love gadgets. This thing is awesome.
Right. So dudes love gadgets. I think one of the reasons they keep making these vibrators, like, do weird things is because dudes love gadgets.
Okay? Yeah.
Apps. Vibrators have apps.
What?
You can control them from
really?
Another city.
Oh, that could be dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, what if someone hacks it? Good Lord. You could
hack into it. Right.
She orgasmed to death. It's another one of the tragedies of.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's part of it. You know, it's all this, like, gotta get the gadget.
So can you get that close to the mic and let's see.
That voice activated one is really interesting. I mean, it really does.
Okay.
You say something and
so,
there it goes.
Let's see.
Okay, here we go. This is radio. It's pink. It's bright pink.
Can you hear that? Or it'll be.
You might want to put it on on the console.
Okay.
There.
Oh, there you go.
There it goes.
Now everyone, shh. It's not stopping.
No, it's not. No, it's very.
It's angry. It's very angry. No, this thing was amazing. You talked at it, and it would, and then you stopped, and it would stop. So it's for music, you said,
it's,
basically.
Yeah, for music or voice. You know, you can control, use your voice to make somebody happy.
And isn't that what life is all about?
I mean, isn't that what you do?
No, actually, I'm
here
trying to tick people off. Actually, I'm an editorial cartoonist, so basically my job description is make enemies.
Can you also explain the toy to us that you told us all to put our finger in? That's the way you showed it to us. You're like, here,
know,
put
your
finger
in
here.
Yeah.
Right. And it felt good, right?
Really, right. Just the finger. Imagine if it was.
It's that good on your finger.
This is designed for.
So this is designed for women. And
a lady's happy button.
Let's
put it that
way. External. Only external. And it has a really horrible name. It's called the Womanizer. But let's get over that. Because it works. Okay. So they get by that with that name because it works so well. And it is, like, you know, let's say 60 seconds max.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really working.
Do they have something for that for men? Because that would be...
Yeah, everything for men.
Well,
so.
What I wanted to ask you, that is a question I wanted to ask you, because a lot of your product, I notice online, and most of them are for women, for women's pleasure, for women. You know, obviously, the partner can participate, but the technology for men is not nearly as sophisticated as this stuff. Am I wrong? Which is entirely possible.
There's a lot of stuff for men. A lot of it is designed for prostates and stimulation. And technology is just as advanced that way.
I could get a prescription in Alabama for that.
You could get it, even here, you could get a prescription for that.
Can you really?
But that's what most of the stuff is designed for men. Or there's a lot of things to help men pleasure themselves.
Yeah.
And there's a whole new world of that.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that? Do you carry that? Because I know that your focus is on women.
Yes. We carry some products for men. But we don't carry anything that looks like anatomy.
Ah. Okay.
Can't believe I'm going to ask this question on WGN Radio, but I can't resist. Is it like less challenging for men to find pleasure? Is that why maybe there aren't as many items at your store for men? Are women the ones seeking more help in the pleasure department?
Well, let's just say that men, everything for men is pretty much on the outside, and they've been touching it since birth.
What?
Go ahead, keep going. Whereas
Jazz is going, we went there. Woo!
Yes, we did.
Female exploration is a little bit different. Yeah. Not all little girls are encouraged to explore. Mm-hmm.
And this is pretty new. I can remember. As a kid, and I'm 57 years old, and in high school, oh, so you too? You know, you're younger than me. You look younger.
A little bit younger. Okay. Not very much.
But in high school, you know, the girls who like sex were, you know, sluts, and it was just something, almost like there was something wrong with them.
Yeah, they're the bad girls.
They're the bad girls,
but it was no big deal.
And it was crazy. In retrospect, it was nuts to think that.
But were they the bad boys, the boys who like sex?
Oh, of course not.
No, they were the cool guys,
They were the cool guys, right.
Or just dudes.
And who do you think they were practicing on? Somebody, right?
Right.
Or themselves, you know.
real quick, there's a text from the 708. Good God, where's Patty Vasquez right now? This segment is right up her alley, no pun intended.
Well, she did inspire this segment. I'll be perfectly honest. But I did want to talk about this because, like I said, Prude, walking into your store, you'd walk us through this. You chose the gadget that's voice activated. What's that one called?
It's made by a company called Nalone, Nalone, and it's voice activated. It's their voice activated stimulator. I had to leave out one word there because you told me I couldn't say it on the air.
No, you can say it on the air.
But it's actually called the voice-activated clit stimulator. But it's not. It's actually an internal vibe. So it actually is for your G-spot as well.
Oh. Well,
so we could talk about the G-spot if you'd like.
Well, this is how naive we are. And I'm going to call Janine out on this because when I heard you were going to be a guest, and it's very, very exciting. We went to your webpage. She goes, why is it called the G-Boutique?
Because I got the... okay.
Okay, so there you go. All right. So G...
That's what you say when you use it, right?
Right. G-whiz.
G. Okay.
G is actually... G is for girls, okay? Mm-hmm.
Seriously, I thought it was the G-spot.
We had two birds, two lovebirds when we opened, and we called them String and Spot because we have G-strings and we have G-spots. Oh. But G can be for anything. You know how hard it is to name a sex toy store? Let me just tell you.
Oh, I can imagine. Okay?
We have pages of names, and I just didn't want anything like Cupid's Lane and Cupid, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't want anything kitschy. And so we finally...
No puns? I love puns.
They do use a lot of puns in that. I remember.
Yeah.
We actually got a catalog. This, again, we were first married. Our neighbor, who was a able-bodied seaman. Again, we're going, shut up, Craig. And so he would ship out a lot, but we got his mail by mistake. And one of them was that catalog, which was hard. I'm not making this up. It was hardware and sex toys.
Hardware
like hammers and drills.
Like a hammer and a vibrator.
Well, that's just efficient. You know, you just find two things in the same catalog, order them all from the same place. It's like, great.
One-stop shopping. No, it's true. It was.
We did look through it before we gave it back to him.
What was the one? Was it Tall, Dark, and Handsome was the one?
Yeah, I always remember Tall, Dark, and Handsome. It was a long black dildo.
Yeah, so that's how things used to be. They're not like that anymore. Well, that's the other thing. When men come in, they kind of want to replace themselves. Like, they think that that's actually what a woman wants, is a toy that would be like a man. You know, so they want like a hard, long, big plastic thing that vibrates for women, but that's not always what women want. So we have to kind of talk you through, like, we have you, so we don't need another one of those.
No, actually, when I went into that store with Huntsville with my friend, they actually had a mold that you could make your own.
Yes, we have.
Penis. Yeah, we do.
You have those
one
too?
That you like.
We do.
Yes.
Have those.
How many people have made a mold?
Lots of people.
I am dumbfounded by this.
Are you really?
How do you make it? Do you get your own little area and you mold for a while?
Yeah.
How long does that take?
Do you send it in, or does it, that makes the whole thing right away?
You
make
like
a little mold, send it to a factory.
Yeah, do they make it there? Or?
No, but you can, if you want a really good one, you can send it in. But no, these you make just at home.
Okay.
Well, at G Boutique, you also have lessons.
We do. We have workshops. We do parties. We do private parties.
That's awesome. I mean, it really is. Looking at the list of stuff that you do, it's actually pretty cool. I mean, it really is. Like some of the upcoming stuff, which I'm not sure we can, one of them we can't talk about, but how to give the perfect pleasure.
That's our most famous.
Is it really?
Really.
Yeah.
It's how many people take it?
Hundreds.
You're kidding.
How big is the class size?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
The class
size is
small. I mean, we have 25 at the most, but we teach about 4 to 6 a week.
Wow.
Well, just feels so awkward. I guess it's not really.
Okay, so here's the secret. The secret is that we're teaching, what we're doing is empowering women.
Mm-hmm.
We're not really teaching you how to pleasure a man. That's a byproduct. What we're teaching you is how to love what you do and be empowered to take control of that situation and be like the best you can be at everything you do. And so women leave our class thinking, okay, that was fun. And now I get it. Like, I get it, and I can do what I want to do, and I don't have to do what I don't want to do, and I can make my own choices.
And no one's judging me because I just took a class with 25 other people and everyone's like-minded, and it's kind of a fun, encouraging environment instead of maybe what they get everywhere else. Yeah.
Right. So it's really just
about
empowering.
Also, people learn to become more comfortable on the subject, right?
That's what it's all about. It's all about having the conversation, becoming comfortable, learning about different things.
And gadgets that...
And apps. It's all about apps.
It's all about apps. I just think people are on their damn cell phones too much already. I can't imagine during sex you're on your iPhone.
Well, what if you're married to a pilot?
Okay, no.
Travels all the time.
Okay, so yeah, he's there. That astounds me.
Long distance.
Right.
Yeah, you can have like phone sex,
kind of,
but only better.
Yeah, but real.
Smartphone sex.
There you go.
Very good, Janine. Well played, Janine. Well played. Anything else we need to know?
You need to come to G Boutique.
At 2064 North Damon Avenue, your new location.
Yes, or go online and look at our website.
Which is?
BoutiqueG.com.
Okay. Cheryl, thanks so much. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate you staying up this late because I know this is really, really, you took a nap.
I did take a nap.
We took a nap, although I don't think we slept. Did you do that? Because we went in the dark room, turned all the lights off, and said, okay, sleep.
Right.
And slept a little.
Yeah, a little bit. But it doesn't feel like you really slept. Mm-mm. But I did bring you some gifts also.
Oh.
Because we're kind of lube snobs at G Boutique.
Oh, I had a quick question. Can you stick around? Can you stick around for one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we do that?
Where am I going?
Okay. We can kick around. So we can stick around. Because I had a question for you because you were featured in Chicago Women Magazine. So I have a question about that article. Okay. But that will have to wait. And you're listening to Chicago's Own WGN 720. We are back. This is Scott Stans filling in for vacationing Nick D. DeGiulio. Why? I can't remember this.
Dessert.
What is wrong with me?
I don't know.
There's something wrong with me. I'm sure there is. But anyway, we're here until 5 in the morning. I'm joined by some great people. We're having a great time. And Janine, my very best friend in the whole wide world, is here with us, of course. We've got Craig Collins, who does a You've Binge
Challenged.
There it is.
There
see?
It is. Yeah, no, it's a really hard name to say.
It is. It reads great.
It does.
It's just hard to say. And we've continued our conversation, actually, with Cheryl Sloan. We weren't sure if you were going to be. You're fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
So thank you for showing.
You're fantastic.
Oh, no. You're fantastic. No, it really has been fun. It's been interesting. I preface this by saying I'm a prude. I'm not a super prude, but I'm a prude, and you've opened my eyes, and this has been great. So Cheryl owns the G Boutique there at 2064 North Damon Avenue. Been there for 13 years.
Yeah.
Wow. And we've just been joined in the studio. What are you doing?
She's
to Craig?
With sex toys. That's what's happening.
Craig has turned every color of red I think imaginable a Caucasian man can do.
It's my fault. I reached out for it, and then the master immediately showed me. Yeah,
the master, the dildo whisperer.
We're not going there.
And we're being joined by it was going to be a serious conversation. Apparently, it's not. This is Eric Ali, who is the editorial cartoonist for the Illinois Policy Institute and a good close personal friend and one of the great cartoonists in the country. You're syndicated to 9 billion newspapers.
Thanks for having me on, Scott.
Well, thanks for being on. Oh, is your mic on? Your mic is on.
Yes.
Okay, you got to talk into the mic.
Here we go.
Okay, we got him?
I don't know.
No.
We don't got him?
Don't
you know why? Because I didn't turn up your light. Let's try this again.
I've been hearing you have problems with this all night.
I've been having troubles with this my whole life, apparently. Seriously, it's an on-off switch, and apparently it confuses my people.
There's levers and stuff, and there's bright lights. It's very confusing.
It is. I have ADD. I look at these things going up and down. Anyway, I wanted to ask Cheryl a quick question, and then you also have a course that you're... Her boutique actually offers numerous courses, which I think is really awesome. Besides the sex toys, besides the lingerie, you have courses that you offer. This one is Unlearning Jealousy and Ethical Non-Monogamy.
It's a lot to say.
It's a lot of big words there. I'm a cartoonist.
It's a lot.
I think
it could have a better title.
So how would you describe the course?
So that's what we were talking about earlier when you said, you know, the swinging couples, does it work or does it not work? So here, jealousy is probably the big word of whether it works or it doesn't work. And so this woman is talking about how to unlearn jealousy. So how to get over that jealousy feeling when you've come to an agreement together to have a non-monogamous relationship.
I think that's almost impossible.
It's hard. It's hard.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, I'm just, you know, it is hard. I would imagine it's very, very difficult. You were featured in Chicago Woman magazine. At ChicagoWoman.com. It's a thing that says, and I know this is a stupid-ass question, okay? I'm the first to admit it. But they said, what's in your bag? I thought a great idea would be what's on your desk. So you go to people, and without warning, you show up at their office. They can, if they have phone numbers or something, they can cover them. But other than that, you take a picture of what someone's desk looks like. And this gives you, a good look into their process. Here you have what's in your bag, Cheryl Sloan of G Boutique, and it shows what you have in your bag. And there's a couple of things, not surprising, but one of them actually made me very misty.
Very sweet.
But can I ask this is the question, and I don't want to give away any secrets here for Chicago Women Magazine, but did you edit any of this stuff? That is, did they actually show up and say, dump out your purse?
Oh, no. They just asked you, what's in your bag? Like, what's in your bag?
Okay, so you can cherry pick stuff. It wasn't like...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a half-eaten Twixt or something.
No.
You don't have to show that.
No.
And the thing that actually you have a fresh sugar plum tinted lip balm.
Yes, I do.
And your lips are kissably soft.
I always have that.
A hex bug?
Yeah, you know what a hex bug is?
No.
I don't.
What is that?
So I can pull mine out in a minute, but it's a little... looks like a caterpillar, and you turn it on, and it just moves. It actually looks like a toothbrush. It looks like the head of a toothbrush, but it has a little battery in it, and they make it's a toy, but not a sex toy.
It's a toy.
And then they make little like race courses for them and stuff. They're called hex bugs.
Why do you have that in your purse?
I don't know. I love them. I don't know why.
All right, no, that's great. One of the great things about being an adult is you can buy things.
Right. And, you know, it was like something my son didn't want when he was little. And I was like, what do you mean you don't want this?
My kids have, like, remember the underwear with the superheroes on it?
Yeah.
I thought that was so awesome. And they didn't have any, what? Underoos. Do your kids have it, Eric?
I wore it.
Well, you're not a big guy, so yeah, I can see that. No, in all seriousness, so Janine...
He used to complain all the time. Why don't they make these for grown-ups? Why don't they make them for grown-ups? And now
they do. So when so one of the things is, I thought I was a little nervous about doing the show, obviously, because it's only the second time I've guest hosted a show here in WGN. And so I thought, okay, what's the best way to get over that is, well, if I get feeling I'm too serious, taking myself too seriously, I'm wearing flash underwear.
There you go.
That's a pin.
I had the flash.
You're both wearing flash underwear? Yeah.
Are you really?
Wow.
Eric?
No, I had the flash.
Oh, I thought we're both wearing matching underwear, which would just be weird.
That would be very weird.
Okay, the other thing is a hanky, which I love your explanation. You say, I don't really know why, but I'm obsessed with carrying a hanky. I love the look, the feel, and the throwback of my aunts and grandmother, which I think is very cool. And this is the one that I thought was very sweet. My mom's Bottega checkbook cover.
Yeah.
Just to have a memory of her.
Just because.
Oh.
It still sort of smells like my mom, like her perfume and stuff.
That's just really cool. And the rest is a Young Living Everyday Oils collection, because you said you don't really know. No, you use them all day long.
I use them all
day long. In your tea, your peppermint for a headache. Does that work?
It so works. Peppermint and rosemary right here, right on your temples. Oh, yeah. I have allergies, you know.
Oh, so do I.
Allergy thing. So
I just
peppermint,
get,
lemon, lavender.
What would work? I get groggy like ditzy. Shut up, Craig.
Hey, I'm
He's
not
just sitting there with that smile on his face.
Scott, tell us how you get ditzy. Go ahead.
That's it. Well, that's too much pollen or somewhere.
Peppermint? Huh. I'll bring you some.
Okay. I'd like that.
So I did have a question, though. One of the things you had lube in your, your purse. But you said you use it for your hair. How did you figure out to use it to defrizz your hair?
Okay, so silicone lube.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go and buy that defrizz stuff in a you get it in a salon, it's made of silicone and alcohol. So silicone lube is the silicone without the alcohol.
So it's actually better than that stuff
exactly.
for your hair.
Exactly, so it doesn't dry your hair. So you just, if you have extra on your hands, which frequently you might, and so you just put it in your hair. It also fixes locks. Like if your key and the lock isn't turning really well, put a little...
Is this metaphor again, or are we...
No, we're no metaphor.
Okay.
Right. So it's pretty much, you can use it for everything.
Yeah, it's like, you know...
It's like a WD-40
type
stuff.
Right. But it feels way better.
I don't think you can... I just think of this... I'm sorry. I'm just thinking back. I'm being back to 12 again. Yeah. You're in the middle of coitus and... Wait, let me get the strong on it. I'm sorry. That's just...
So if you haven't tried silicone lube, though, you should try it.
Now, yeah, because you have frizzy. You have curly, wonderful, wild hair, which I think is incredibly sexy. But
sometimes when it rains, you might, even though it's super sexy, you might not be feeling it quite as sexy as you look.
No, because you don't really feel sexy when your hair looks like a Brillo pad, basically.
Right. So you put a little lube in there.
Well, that's helped me.
Eric is shaving.
Scalp?
Make it look shinier.
Probably help razor burn and stuff like that.
Yeah. Cheryl, thanks so much for spending this time with us. I really appreciate you coming in this late.
It's really been
fun. Yeah, thanks. This has
been
great. Cheryl, owner of G Boutique at 2064 North Damon Avenue. The webpage again?
BoutiqueG.com.
So go there, and honest to goodness, you will be impressed, and it is well lit. It's not the weird, dark, dank places they used to be.
Floors aren't sticky.
No. Our floors are new.
New floor. New.
Oh,
beautifully cleaned with lube floors.
Right. You'd be sliding right through. Slide on in. Right. Uber lube everywhere.
Cheryl, thanks again.
All right.
You're listening to Chicago's very own 720 WGN, Chicago. Well, that just makes me happy listening to that. It really does. You're listening to WGN, of course. I'm Scott Stannis, filling in for a vacationing Nick DiGilio. Thank you so much. And Craig is also with us. Craig Collins, who does the You've Binge Served.
Right? You've Binge Challenged.
Challenged. Why do I want to say served?
Yeah. I don't know why you want to say You've Been
You've
served.
Been Served was a PBS thing.
Right.
Because I'm a geek and that's what the kind
and
of things
I think
I
I'm going to prison.
No.
You've Been Served, right? Served or something? Some sort of...
No, it's actually about...
No, it's about a department store.
It's about
like
a department store.
The 60s, maybe?
All right.
Yeah.
60s into the
70s. Legal to me. You've Been Served sounds like it'd be
like
some sort of...
So You've Been Challenged podcast at WGN+. Plus. You got to listen to it because it's awesome. And, of course, we have now Eric Ali, who is... Ali? How do you say it?
Ali.
Ali.
For French.
Eric Ali. It is Eric Ali. Très bien. I actually had a friend. We have a mutual friend, Ted Rall. He's a bat crap crazy liberal. and he's a French citizen, too. His mother is a French citizen, and he speaks fluent French. So he was doing a radio show in L.A. on the weekends, and they fired him. So for his last show, he did it entirely in French.
Oh, he was fired and he knew?
Oh, yeah. He knew it was in the mail, so he just did the whole show in French.
Wow. Did he get calls? Were there calls?
There were no calls, okay. Interestingly enough.
Eric's mic isn't on?
I don't think he's leaning close enough to it.
Yeah. Eat the mic, man. All right. The mic. Closer.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Do it. This is like our last segment with, of course, Cheryl was great from G Boutique, and she left a gift for Janine, which made her blush like 17 different shades of red. It's the butterfly thing. What's it called?
It's a bunny.
Oh, it's a bunny.
Something with O'Hare, too. Somehow O'Hare it makes bunny. Fun of, yeah, the O'Hare bunny.
O'Hare. I don't think it's the airport. I think it's hair as a bunny.
This is not the WGN I remember.
You got to lean to the mic, man. Yeah, seriously.
I'm in.
Okay. Are we good? Jazz?
Yep,
okay.
He just has a low voice.
He's on four. We can roll him up more.
All right. We can do that. Okay. Now try. Talk. Say something
I'm
clever.
I'm humble. I can't help it. Is that better?
Eric is the editorial cartoonist for the Illinois Policy Institute. He's also helps out. He's the assistant on Prickly City, our comic strip. So that's kind of cool.
Yes, it is.
And that's why it looks so good versus my little scratchy stuff. You know, I once had an editor. I handed him a cartoon and the guy tried to effectively destroy my career. So I handed him the cartoon and he goes, and I'm going to clean it up some way. He says, what's this scratchy crap? It was cross-hatching.
Oh, my God.
So that's the life we have as a cartoonist anyway. So, okay. So Illinois politics, we've got Madigan running the state still. We've got a 6-month stopgap budget.
It's going to be nothing.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
I was on Patty's show with Dan Katowski, and he said, well, we had the tax increase, but the people made it go away. I said, because it was sold to us as a temporary tax. Remember that, folks? And he goes, well, but they took it away.
You do an interesting Dan Katowski, by the way. Your impression of him is very interesting.
That's what I hear. So what are you cartooning about this week with the policy? Are you cartooning on that issue?
Yeah. I mean, always. Madigan's one of my central focuses. All
Mine
the
too.
Time,
yeah. As well, two of the half a dozen conservatives actually in the state of Illinois. We're in the same place, which probably we shouldn't be in the same place at the same time.
It's weird.
It is weird because I call up Eric has a weird circadian rhythm. You love to go to bed at like 4.
Yep.
5.
Right about now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are we keeping you up, Eric? But I call him up late at night because I know I can. I say, and I just need a good shot of conservative dogma. And you always seem to have it. But where you and I agree and where we are flummoxed, Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah. I'm not a big fan. Not at all.
I mean,
what do you do, though? It's a terrible choice. Terrible choice.
Well, you know what I'm going to do.
Smod, the sweet meteor of death.
Yes. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Just for those who don't know what we're talking about, this is absolutely true. It actually, it's a great giant meteor hitting the Earth is polling well in presidential elections. It's polling better than the Libertarian candidate in this particular poll. It got, 19% of the vote versus, here it is. Clinton got 43%, Trump 38%. And 13% would prefer to have a giant meteor smack into the earth and destroy all life.
I think that's enough for it to qualify for the debate.
Janine brought that up. It has to get to 15%. So it's only 2 percentage points. So,
but as more people know that it's raining,
yep, get the word
and
out.
Are more aware of the meteor.
Yes, then know that Gary Johnson, who's a Libertarian candidate, who's someone I actually like.
And there's campaign questions for the meteor. Like, would it be instantaneous meteor, or would you take your time with it?
He has his own
have his own platform.
No, he has his, yes.
Really? We'd be dead if it even showed up for the debates.
That's
would be
a good
it.
Point.
Well, that's
right.
The point. Here, I'm going to throw this over to If you could pass that on to Craig, and you
there's
can.
No way. Can
there's
we
a bumper
agree,
sticker.
Can we all agree that this is not a good option? That the end of all life. I don't care who's president. End of all life would be worse, right?
Maybe. I'm not convinced.
Yeah, I mean, you know, don't forget, we're a couple of editorial cartoonists. Hyperbole right, okay. is our middle name here.
That's wow! This is amazing. There's T-shirts and stuff.
Yeah, and what's the slogan?
Which is probably why it was
Meteor
running.
2016 just ended already. Just get it over with.
No, as conservatives, as someone who I grew up in the Republican Party. The only degree I actually have is from the California Republican Party Campaign Management College.
Oh,
true. Because apparently I don't stick it out in the regular college, but I do have that degree. So I have some serious. I worked on both Reagan's campaigns in 1984.
He has creds.
I've got serious Republican street cred. Okay, and so looking at Trump, there is no way in God's green earth I can vote for this guy. Can you vote? Could you vote for him?
No.
So what's your option?
It's going to be Johnson or leave it blank and just focus on the down ticket candidates.
Well, and here in Illinois, the down ticket is going to be the big race, of course, is for the United States Senate between Democrat Kirk and Democrat Duckworth.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. another poor choice.
Yeah, it's so funny. I love the ads so far for Senator Kirk have been almost laughable because they're running away from Trump so much. It's like, I'm not for that, not having, terrorists on the buy list for guns. And what's the other thing he's talking? I mean, all the stuff. I'm like immigrants.
He had some word that was right from Trump's vocabulary. I can't remember.
Huge.
It was something. Everyone was shocked that he was using that term, that word. I don't remember what it was. I thought you would have known. No, I don't remember.
He's not trying to make Illinois great again, is he? Is that
it was blatant. Like that.
I tell you, down ticket people are going to suffer, especially in purple states and in some of the blue states, like here in Illinois, where it's going to make a difference. It truly is. I mean, I think Kirk, it was an uphill battle for him anyway.
He was done. But I thought I saw polls that were showing that the down ticket wasn't doing so bad.
Is that right?
As much as people thought with Trump dragging it down.
So. You mean across the country?
Right, right. So,
because the fear is for the Republican Party is to lose the Senate. I mean, the House is such a wide margin that that's going to be nearly impossible. But as far as the Senate, that's possible. That's doable.
The Democrats had poor candidates coming in because they thought they were in a bad position. This being the end of Obama's second term, and it just didn't look good for them. So they couldn't recruit good talent.
Well, you've got Hillary at the top of the ticket, and that's a big positive. It's weird. We have two candidates whose negatives are roughly in the 60 percentile. We've never had that in history, ever.
Oh, negatives? Yeah.
Yeah. No, and then Bill drags Attorney General Lynch onto a plane.
Totally innocent.
I did not have conversations with that woman. What?
No one's laughing at your joke.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You're my
wife.
She
wasn't laughing at your impersonation.
That says a lot about your relationship right now. We just learned a lot. That he was like, no, I was laughing at your joke. Really? I got one.
I've had a joke. The worst thing I ever did, it was a celebrity stand-up thing, and I wrote a stand-up. I swear, it's the one thing that scares me to death. Scares me to death. So I wrote it, and I did it in front of Janine. Not a smile. And I immediately called the guy who organized it and said, you know what? I can't do it. And then I had a professional comedian tell me later that was the worst thing you could have done because it's the worst audience you could possibly.
Oh, yeah, just one person?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, your spouse.
Right.
Yeah.
And specifically the spouse, but any one person.
No, but your spouse.
For a good reason, actually. It's because.
I'm not funny?
No. Because I would not want you to be embarrassed or fail. So I'm going to be harder. You'd have to really work hard to make me laugh. Then I'll know you're good enough that no one else will.
This was really funny stuff. I just want the audience to know.
I stopped showing my wife.
It's not like your monkey joke is
years
it?
Ago.
It's not the monkey joke. That's another
We're
sign.
We're doing
for
your whole set after 4:30. It's going to be awesome.
Yes. Jazz, we got to take a break. We do have to take a break. You're listening to Chicago Zone 720 WGN. And we're back. You're listening to Chicago Zone 720 WGN. I'm Scott Stannis filling in for vacationing. Nick. We'll be here till 5 a.m. I hope you're having a great night. I know I am because I'm being joined by Madeline Dubeck, who's the publisher for Reboot Illinois. And dang, if we could find that button, that'd be awesome. Welcome to the show. Seriously. Okay, let's dive right into it.
Sure.
Firstly, tell people a little bit about Reboot.
Reboot Illinois is a digital outfit that focuses on politics and government and all things Illinois. We try to have a little fun and at the same time educate, engage, and activate Illinois citizens to take back their government.
And business is good. I mean, this is an interesting business model. You guys just got picked up by a new company. You have a new overlord, as do we here at the Chicago Tribune, where I work.
We do.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's not called Tronc, is it?
It's not called Tronc.
Anyway, obviously we now have a stopgap budget, and everyone is patting each other on the back, which I think it's probably a good thing. Is this a good thing?
No.
Tell me why.
Because it doesn't address any of our problems, and it essentially kicks the can down the road for another 6 months, at which time we will all be surreally living through Groundhog Day when we go through this process.
Now, Madeline, I need to stop you right there, and you're implying that our elected officials in Springfield will not do the right thing.
Yes, I am. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but it's true.
Well, but, no, this is the same group of people who gave us the, for those of you who may or may not remember, the temporary,
income tax
63%, right, increase at that time?
I would suggest to everybody listening that that temporary income tax increase is going to be coming back to you as a Christmas present under the tree.
Every single elected official talking last night that I happened upon mentioned that we don't have the money to pay for the things that we said we're going to pay for now, which is code for, oh, man, hold on to your wallet because we're coming at it and we're coming at it hard.
Absolutely. And there actually were a few officials, one of whom is Jack Franks, who's not running for re-election. He's instead running for McHenry County Board Chairman, who stood up and very plainly said, this is ridiculous. We're not addressing any of the problems. Every day that we live through this stopgap budget, we're actually spending $33 million more dollars because we're not addressing any of our pension problems. We're still spending more than we're taking in because we don't have that temporary income tax increase at the moment. And every 1 percentage point increase in the income tax will generate, I think it's something like $10 billion. So we would need at least a 3 percentage point increase in the income tax just to address the level of debt that we've already built up, $10 to $12 billion, by taking this long just to come up with this barely Band-Aid that we should have ripped off a long time ago.
So bullet point, if you were Governor, Speaker of the House, which you will never be because Michael Madigan will never die, but assuming for a moment you are, the bullet point, what would you do? Tick, 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 tick. I mean, the Supreme Court has continually shot down any pension reform because it's unconstitutional, because somehow that got into the state constitution. So what would you do?
Well, I don't want
to... Governor Dubek...
I don't want to go off on a tangent, but let me just point out to you that the state constitution also says that we need to have a balanced budget in the state of Illinois, and we haven't had one for at least the past 8 or 9 years. And the state constitution also says that Illinois ought to be the primary provider of funding for education all over the state, and it's not doing that either. So why do we choose to enforce some parts of the constitution but not others?
Well, because some parts are suggestions and others aren't. And some parts get you elected and others don't.
Now you're seeing things my way, Scott.
It has been a remarkable ride. I've been here for 7 years. And a funny story, just before I came here, I was working in Birmingham, Alabama. And a county official had just been convicted and sentenced to prison for absconding with $2,500 over like a 3-year period.
$2,500?
I'm not kidding. Yeah, that's the number. And so I come up here, and I can't even remember this guy's name. And it was another person who had taken $10 million and gotten, like, a slap on 1-year sentence and some probation and government service. I talked to my then-boss, Bruce Dold, who's now the publisher-editor of the Chicago Tribune. At the time, he was editorial page editor. And I said, Bruce, what's going on here? He goes, Scott, up here we're professionals. Welcome to the NFL. The level of cynicism and incompetence just continues to baffle. Do you see any hope in the election coming up this fall?
In a word, no.
How come?
Because I'm not running, so you don't have a chance to vote for me and really address me as Governor Dubek.
Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it?
Look, these guys just purposely punted all of the difficult decisions so that they could get themselves reelected in districts that are rigged for their advantage. And in two-thirds of the legislative offices, or more than two-thirds, there's no real competition. So there's really not a whole lot of hope for fixing things when the voters go to the polls and everything's already been decided.
Now, one more issue I want to touch on, and that's REMAP, which is now, they have a gazillion signatures again. Again, the Madigan forces are mobilizing to...
Ironic that while we were passing a stopgap budget, the independent map amendment effort was being debated in a Cook County courtroom. And one of Mike Madigan's favorite lawyers, Michael Casper, was the one doing the arguing that this question should not go before voters.
What was his argument why we shouldn't have a right to vote on this?
Because it...
besides, it might pass.
It doesn't address the quote-unquote structure and procedure language that's in the state constitution. Or it messes with it too much.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, good Lord.
There seems to be some question whether it is a good or proper idea to have the Auditor General of the state of Illinois involved in kind of screening and helping pick some finalists for this independent commission, which would be charged with drawing the maps, because, you know, the Auditor General is actually appointed by the state legislature. So there is no way to totally remove politics from the process, but this would certainly remove a lot more of it,
sure,
more directly than it is being done right now when one party or the other.
Sure, and I said one thing
to their advantage.
And I lied. The term limits. So is that dead in the water for this
yes,
election?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good Lord. Now,
you will also get to vote on an amendment to lock the box in which all of our transit-related taxes go so that they cannot be raided in the future and that they can only be used to pay for road building, mass transit.
Okay, where does that come from?
That comes from the business community and the transportation community, and it actually was approved by the House and the Senate, so it will be on the ballot. No question, no court challenge. Because it's much easier for lawmakers to load up the ballot and pack it with things than it is for average citizens who are supposed to be running the government and choosing their politicians to get something on the ballot.
Dude, you're bringing me down. Is there anything that we should be optimistic about?
Well, so here's some optimism. This stopgap budget happened because people were starting to finally wake up and freak out a little bit about the fact that their schools might not open in August without any state money and funding for our school districts. About a month before that, in May, state lawmakers really started to feel some pressure from college communities throughout the state because our colleges had not gotten funding for nearly a year. And everyone in those communities finally started to protest and essentially raise hell. And so the lawmakers in those communities really felt some pressure, finally put some pressure on their leaders and got some small chunk of funding. And so those are two signs that people are starting to pay attention a little bit more, take a second from their very busy lives running the kids to baseball practice and the pool for the summer and realize that they need to start paying attention and do something about this. Now, unfortunately, now they're hearing that there was a budget, so they'll probably
go
back to sleep for a little while and not pick this back up again.
Yeah, let's not hope this is some kind of like political Ambien and we're all going to go back to sleep. If you want to get involved, you go to
rebootillinois.com. Rebootillinois.com is going to be your place for learning in very quick, easy, understandable, accessible fashion what is happening in the state of Illinois with our politics and government. We also try to have a little fun and provide some goofy lists and factoids and funny things about weird things in Illinois, like the big, where's the biggest Abraham Lincoln statue? And
oh, my gosh, where is that?
I don't remember. I think it's actually in Charleston, Illinois, which is the home of Eastern Illinois University, which is my alma mater.
Oh, go...
Go Panthers.
Yeah, or now.
Yeah.
Let's just go with that. Madeline, thanks for joining me tonight.
My
pleasure. Really appreciate this morning. I'm Scott Stantis. We've got a ton of really cool stuff coming up. If you want to learn more about Illinois, go to rebootillinois.com. We're going to be here until 5 a.m., so you're listening to Chicago's Own 720 WGN. We are having far too much fun here in Studio A here, high above the city of Chicago, coming to you live in living colors from the studios of WGN. I'm Scott Stantis, filling in for Nick DiGilio and until 5. And then Dave Plyer takes over for us. I'm joined by my very bestest friend, Janine Faddich, and Craig Collins, and one of the guys who I really admire in the editorial cartooning field, Eric Ali.
Close.
Ali. I just want, you know, when you say it like that, I just want to start singing, you know, Eric Ali, wonderful, he draws things. That's about as close to rapping as I will ever get and rhyming stuff. So anyway, Eric, okay, so Chicago, Cook County, well, Cook County, Tony brought back the Stroger tax. So did you draw about that?
I'm sure I did. I'm always complaining about everything that goes on around.
We are going to be the highest tax state in the union.
Oh, yeah.
Not to mention, we are one of the most expensive cities in the world to live on.
Yes.
Live in, not on, because
well,
on
just
would
depressing.
Just be uncomfortable.
I just got depressed on the 4th of July.
I'm sorry, it's the 4th of July. Woohoo! Okay, let me throw something out that's awesome.
Okay.
You want something awesome?
Yes.
Look at this.
I see that.
The Juno mission is going into a planet insertion around Jupiter this evening. Don't smile at me like that, Eric. I geek talk to Eric and he just looks at me like I'm an idiot.
I thought it was going to be the Pluto.
No, they actually got their funding approved. They're going to another object in the Kuiper Belt. How cool is that?
So I find it kind of interesting.
I'm sorry, they're like, what the hell is he talking about? The Kuiper Belt is the ring of stuff that's outside of our solar, that rings our solar system. Mm-hmm. We're going to go see something we have never, ever seen before. The guy who's in charge of the New Horizons mission, Alan Stern, has cojones the size of your head. Because what he did beforehand is he went and you had to fire the rockets four times to change the trajectory of the probe. So it would go to this thing, and then he went to NASA and asked them for the funding.
You know, Scott, don't take this the wrong way. I like you a lot, but would you have been interested in going to Mars? Would you have been one of those people that would have wanted to go?
I have kids.
Have,
no,
yes.
I would have, yes, but I have kids here.
Got it.
And I want to see how their story ends, and I want to be here and watch
it.
Got
it, okay. And you don't want to try to communicate through some sort of phone?
No, with an app. We're back to the app. I could talk to my wife through the app. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, listen back to the podcast. I suspect that Jazz we're going to post at some point. So you can hear what Cheryl Sloan of G Boutique talked about. There's an app for that.
Well, he does have a little theme going on here.
What's that?
Well, the G Boutique sex toys, mm-hmm. The politics where you get screwed a lot, and then the insertion there.
We were all kind of wondering where we're going. What? Okay, well, she went there. Okay, that's my wife, who I love. We're actually celebrating 35 years this October.
We're going to see Jupiter or something, you said a second ago?
You're not going to see it. The Juno mission, which has been flying there, it's been taking 5 years. It actually slingshot around the sun and around, used Earth gravitational to help push it.
They do that in movies. I'm familiar with that. They go around the planet and they slingshot.
Yes, it's a slingshot.
Slingshot.
So yeah. It's going to go into orbit insertion around Jupiter tomorrow.
Cool.
Today, July 4th, American mission, Juno mission, our mission is going to go. It's going to go through orbit and it's going to be orbiting Jupiter and giving us some incredible science. It's going to be looking through the clouds and it'll tell us what's in it, what the composition is, if there's water there. And exactly,
did they put any fireworks on it? Because that would have been really cool.
They should, because
around,
the thing is,
launch them out.
The thing about Jupiter, if it was just a little bit bigger, it'd be big enough, and the gravity would be strong enough where it would self ignite, and we'd have a second sun. So you don't want
okay,
that,
so
Craig.
No to fireworks. Global warming. Right?
You,
ideas
you,
are
you
great
just
ideas.
Don't want that. Yeah. You really don't. So that's kind of cool.
You wouldn't need to
I'm
go
waiting
for
the
them asteroid.
To land on one of these moons. That's yeah. what I'm interested in. Get, break
well,
through that ice.
Okay,
see what's underneath.
It's funny you should ask that, because when I was at the New Horizons flyby, they had the mission to Enceladus, which will probably launch next year.
Enceladus? What's that?
Enceladus is a cool name for something.
That's, I don't, that
Enceladus is the moon, the ice moon.
Yeah, sure.
You oh, name your first child.
Was that Eo?
Enceladus Collins.
Enceladus Collins.
It's one of the ice moons around you, and they're talking about it's going to be an orbiter to start, but they're going to start looking at the planet. I'm trying to have a serious discussion.
What would Enceladus's nickname be? Selly. Come here, Selly.
I like that.
Yeah, it's nice. Selly Collins.
Especially if like spew liquids at weird moments, because that's what Enceladus does also.
Okay.
And they do that when they're babies, so.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, my niece, especially my youngest niece, holy, she was a. Oh, my God.
You were saying something serious?
No, I forget what the hell it was. It doesn't really matter. No, but the United States is going to, I'm wrong about Enceladus, although that's the one where we've actually seen water geysers, which is, I mean, that's kind of incredible. It's around Saturn, though. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at Europa, which is another ice moon around Jupiter.
Water
so,
geysers sounds like a fun theme park. Can
Europa?
Theme park there, yeah.
It sounds like Disney Europa.
Exactly.
It really does. I don't think that's what we're going to find. We're going to find...
Okay.
The idea is that you land a lander, you melt through the ice, mm-hmm. and then you get into a liquid ocean beneath it, maybe a kilometer, 3 kilometers. They don't know how deep this is. They're going to find out in the Europa mission. And then they're going to turn a light on.
Oh.
Or they hope that there's some geothermal activity that's enough... creates enough energy to produce life.
Okay, yeah. You're both nerds. Okay, they're
no, but he's
nerd.
Right, and that's
got
what causes, if you've ever seen the surface of it, the surface of Europa is, there's obviously something going on because ice flows, there's no craters, sure. which means it's being replenished all the time.
Mm-hmm. No,
I could say anything now. It's crenaceous in a certain
yes, exactly.
dimensional light, especially on
I've
the latitudes.
Mm-hmm. I love the crenaceous
You're like
latitudes.
Me looking at car engines when I'm talking to my mechanic.
Rubbing your chin.
Yeah, because he'll open up and say, well, as you can all clearly see here, the...
I never want to get down when they put like a mat out for me. They're like, you want to look at it with me?
No.
I have no desire.
Not
That's
only
why
a desire,
I'm hiring you.
It will just confirm how stupid I am. Because they really can point at it and just make words up.
Mm-hmm. No, you know. This is all very, very true, just like you did with the planets.
No, that is true. Europa is a mission, honest to goodness. It's going to be launched next year. Or this year, I'm sorry, 2016.
They're privatizing space exploration,
Some of
too.
It, they're actually sending a mission. SpaceX is sending a mock-up of a manned space mission
to
Mars.
You've
got
to at least get on one of those, Scott. You got to at least get on one
I
of those.
I want to come back.
Well, yeah, but one of the ones where you come back. They've got to be...
It's
going to
be... I'm going to be too old.
Or you can just do it when you're really, really old and you're going to die anyway, so...
Won't you miss me?
You guys go together. Go together.
Well, maybe I'll already be dead, so...
Or I'll have the app, so...
Yeah, so it won't matter.
Oh my God,
like
the show
there.
Is ending. It's so uplifting. Maybe I'll already be dead. It'll be fine. You go to Mars. It'll be great. That sounds really, really cool.
I'd rather you be alive than go to Mars. That's how much I love
Aww,
you.
Aw, that's so sweet.
That. You guys are great.
They actually have some new science from Mars. Honest to God. Okay, you keep bringing this up, and there's
yeah,
always new science.
That's
the new
fine.
Science is that it looks like Mars actually was very Earth-like about 1.5 to 2 billion years ago, and they don't know what happened.
I thought it was that they didn't have the... gravity to sustain the atmosphere.
Here's where they may have found out what happened. Oh, shut up, Craig!
No, go ahead. No.
Learn.
Yep, I am.
You must have been terrible in school.
I was.
You need to binge watch Nova.
Did you say you were hoping for entertainment?
No, I said this is edutainment. I said this
sure
is.
It is. Sure it is. No, the Earth's core has a molten core that
I've
spins
that.
Very quickly, and that's yeah. what creates our magnetic field. Mars, they think what happened was is that cooled significantly enough where it went away. So radiation just bombards
so there were
the
Martians
planet.
At one point, though?
The Caribbean.
Okay.
So wouldn't you find Martian bones or whatever they
yeah.
have?
That would be awesome. It's 1 billion years old, so probably not.
We'll find out when we go. I'm really
when I go, when my wife is dead, I will go to Mars and I'll start digging.
I love that we have
and
a retirement plan for you.
I know. It's just like, you know what? If I go off wandering, no one cares.
Right. It's fine. Do whatever you want. Found something.
You know, Mars Base 23, this is Houston. Do you have a location? Do you have a location for Stan? He's just started walking. He's walking.
Watching Dick Van Dyke somewhere.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with listening to Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, man. Happy 4th of July, everyone, yeah. by the way.
Happy 4th yes. of July. No, this is great. You know, I was going to read, I keep telling people on the show, I was going to read the entire Declaration of Independence mm-hmm. from
These
start.
These are ideas for Plyer now.
He brought that up yes. to me, and I said no, too. I was glad that Janine said no, too. I thought it was going to be a long.
Well, I read it out loud to Janine. We timed it. Mm-hmm. And she, at the end of it, I said, so how was that? And she said.
What did it check in time-wise at?
Eight very long minutes.
Oh, that's less than I thought. I
it's the birth
more.
Of our country, for crying out
did
loud, people.
Did you add a lot of embellishments to it, Scott, while you were reading it? Were there, like, nice voice inflection changes?
A
and
few.
Stuff? Okay. Eight
a
minutes
few,
of just
because
reading.
You're essentially telling the. I still come back to the idea of being in history, and when this thing went out, got disseminated, less than 30% of American colonies supported this thing. So this thing goes out. It goes to Maine. It goes to Connecticut. It goes to Georgia, and they read this thing. Honest to God, they must have just gone, we what? Wait, read that again. No.
Are you sure? Are we all going to do
that
this?
That can't be right.
Everybody's in on this?
You know, he's the king of England. He's got like tens of thousands of troops he can send to shoot us. I don't want that. I don't want to be one of the ones that are shot.
These all sound like accurate things. I for sure think this all happened.
Well, in fact, a number of the colonists, a larger number than you think, actually right. signed up for the British Army.
Wow.
True story.
All right. Happy 4th.
Happy 4th, everybody. Guys, listen, I want to thank everyone who was on the show. I want to thank Craig Collins, of course. Sure. If anyone wants to check out You've Binge Challenged podcast at WGN Plus, you also want to check out Martin Merrow, who is a phenomenal talented comedian. Also, Cheryl Sloan of G Boutique. I want to apologize to Ashvin Ladd for not. He pre-recorded a segment and we didn't get a chance to get to it tonight. And I really feel bad about that. But I do want to thank Madeline Dubeck of Reboot Illinois, Eric Ali for being here.
You
almost and
got
more
it.
Than anything Ali. Else, Janine, my love, thank you for being here for the 3 hours. I know this was hard for you and you didn't like it. And Jasmine Cooper, thank you for producing us. You know what? I had a great time, and you guys have a great and safe July 4th.